So feel free to leave us every time. There's that blue light. Thinking that Nick is I don't know that he's getting paid extra for doing two jobs at once, but he's multitasking. Welcome, executive committee members who are present, and Sharon Lichty is on the phone. I do not have Ed on the phone, and we have not heard from Ed. Ginny was going to phone in. I don't think she is. I got an email from her last night. Would I please present her development committee report? And I shall. Hello, everybody. We've all been working assiduously at our assigned tasks, and there's much progress at hand. On the legislative front, I'm pleased to report that our foundation member, Representative Huffman, has maintained, once again, his successful record of every bill he carries passing unanimously.
Wow.
And carried our license plate bill on the House floor to a 59-0 vote yesterday morning. And it was a pleasure to behold. And we have congratulated him, but I'm sure he will be, if any of you run into him, be sure to thank him profusely. I don't think I will say send some message to the governor. I'm sure she will sign the bill. I spoke with legislative counsel yesterday. There is an opinion pending on, and this is more for accounting and budgeting purposes, which proceeds of license plate sales are under any kind of restriction for the History Center per se.
I'm sorry, I was trying to read the minutes.
Okay, we've simply asked him. There's three readings of you can make of the bill, and it's repeal of or amending the restriction that our share of the Wonderland plates be dedicated to the History Center. It may be that once it's lifted, which it will be as soon as the governor signs it.
It takes effect upon passage.
Yes. Yeah, but does it apply to the license plates that have been sold before it's signed by the governor?
Retroactive, basically.
Right, I probably shouldn't quote Dexter. It's just that it's likely that it just lifts the restriction for any of the proceeds, and we hope that that's the interpretation. But we're waiting. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm sure that there'll be plenty of money to spend on the gateway now and in the future. But it was how we have to account for it and how we have to budget with it that's relevant. And we'll have the answer before we get much further down the road. Any questions about license plate money? Of course, 2073 is now law. It is session law number... Chapter 35, Oregon Laws 2015.
I wonder what you're looking at me for. Oh,
okay. Why would she know that?
Judy was the one I looked up.
Our former Secretary of the Senate.
Yeah. Yes, I knew where to find that.
Yeah. Okay, Chapter 35, no longer House Bill 2037. So, yay. And our third piece of legislation we shall hear from soon from our Building Committee Chair. So now I would turn us to the April minutes. And I'm sure we've all reviewed them.
I haven't had a chance
Joan,
to review
our,
them.
Our careful reader, Ms. Hall.
One typo, yeah. On the first page, Ginny Lang states that Senate Bill 472A was head this morning.
Oh, heard.
Yeah, took me a couple minutes. I thought, what?
Okay. Yes, Ms. Blank.
So, Judy, you had a chance to read through them all.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I looked through the budget. That was my priority. I did that first, and then I...
Yeah.
For you, Jerry. So I didn't get all the way through the minutes.
Jerry, do you want to... Has anyone else read through them? If none of us have read them, why don't you...
Well, let's take a second.
We'll get nitpicking.
Later.
Take a second.
Yeah, I just want to make...
Page sure. 2, Judy Hall... 1, 2, 3, 4.
Suggest.
We examine how other.
That, I think it's a small F. If it's other foundations.
Oh.
Okay. Same with the next, with Chair Neal and A, lowercase f. Nick Herrera down below under 2209, in the middle of, states that after these minutes were completed, he and Fred suggested.
Do we just want to make foundation non-capitalized throughout?
No, I think.
No.
When we're talking about OSCF.
This is us. These are other ones.
Gotcha.
Other foundations.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, when we're talking about.
Other foundations.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm looking at.
That's all, but I don't see any.
I'm looking on page 5. There's a motion by Herb to extend Dr. Busey's contract. And oh, there it is. Keep reading. Motion carries without objection. Okay. It was just a little different format.
Oh, okay.
Earlier
right. Well, so. There was more discussion. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I like this format of minutes. It's,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Page 7.
Yes, ma'am.
Sharon states that Nick and her have been working on how to, should be she.
Good. Last page, page 10, Chair Neal moves to amend the budget.
Mm-hmm.
To amend the budget to include a subscription to the Constant Contact. Any others? Well, good. These were all form and style and not substantive.
Where's the maybe that was at the full committee where we added money for the possible lawyer legal expenses related to? Did we do that at executive or did we do that at the full?
I believe that was in January.
No, we didn't know it.
It was in April, but it might have been at full, not at exec.
Yeah. And
I'll buy that. Which is
I'll look at the minutes for the full meeting.
Okay, which is why it wouldn't be here.
Right. I'm not sure we knew then. This is executive committee, right? It doesn't say
so
that.
So, governance committee article.
April 1, yeah, okay.
Okay, so.
Nick. These are April 1 amendments, but it says 4:15 at the page headings.
That's probably when they were
written up,
published,
when they were written up and finalized.
Okay, but it makes it kind of confusing because it's sort of because our full meeting was on the 15th,
right.
And so let's make sure that somewhere this heading says that this was the executive committee.
Thank you.
Yeah. At the head, it
right.
really ought to say executive committee.
Right. And then check your, go back and look at your template to make sure that your page headings reflect that and the correct date. And with those minor suggestions and amendments, Ms. Cease has moved approval of the minutes. Are there any objections? Hearing none, adopted. Lovely. All right. Review of financial statements. Gary and Nick. Again, this isn't, we're not going to ask the executive committee to look at these with the fine tooth, go through them with a fine-tooth comb. That's really the job of the full membership. But we want to make sure that there isn't anything hinky here as members of the executive committee
to
when
find
we forward.
Hinky, please.
Well, amiss. Extraordinarily odd.
Those members who are, oh, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Those members who are responsible for this part of our operation are signing off on it as we see it before us. Isn't that correct? Jerry?
Yes.
Yes. We're, yeah. Jerry,
on.
Yes.
Good. That's good enough for me.
Well, so is it Ms. Thompson? Is there anything, and Mr. Herrera? Is there anything that we should take note of in particular?
I don't. It's pretty routine based on previous ones. I mean, it's. Nick, is there anything that you want pointed out?
No, it's like you said. It's routine. It's the same that we review every quarter.
Yep.
Right, and I know that Ms. Plank is trying to nail down an issue with Walmart, and so that's pending. As far as a second payment, and I don't think that's under. Do we have that? Are we carrying? Where are our accounts payable?
That would be
total accounts payable.
That would not show up on these financial statements. That is recorded in Bloomberg in our internal.
The detail.
Should show up in here, though, right?
Well, no. This is trans. These are actual transactions, right?
So that's recorded as a pledge in Bloomberg.
Yeah.
But it would not show up on. Was it?
It's not income.
So we're not carrying pledges as accounts payable.
No.
Okay. That's fair enough. I hope that's, we'll make sure that's reflected in our financial policy because some organizations do, and we just want to stipulate that somewhere. Okay. Fine with me. Any questions about any particular items before us? Again, this is a format that we'll discuss again with the discussion of the budget, which is probably the bulk of our meeting today.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Ms. Plank.
I found, and Jerry, I think I sent it to you, it was a kind of an overview of helping people who are on organizations like ours understand what it is they're supposed to do with the budget, because we really do want people engaged, and it was a pretty easy sort of, here's what you should look for, here's the kinds of questions you should ask. So I'll find that again, and at some point in the future, I think I'd like to, when we have more time and we're getting settled, we have a lot of stuff going on right now, but kind of maybe get something, we can work with the Budget and Finance Committee and get something in place so that people understand what their responsibilities are and what they should be looking for.
You did send it to me. And the intent would be to incorporate some ideas at the full foundation meeting, but it's buried in my budget file somewhere.
Yeah,
so if you
too,
would send Jerry. It again.
It is the chair's intent, and I've had some discussion with Jerry about this, is that probably at the October retreat that we have some training, since currently only the fund directors have a quote-unquote fiduciary responsibility for a 501c3, because the fund is the 501c3. Well, all 23 to 25 of us are, as of September 1, going to have those responsibilities. And so some general overview. Now, our newest pending member, Mr. Atkinson, has suggested that he has some contact with Murdoch Foundation folks, and they do programs of that sort. And so I've asked him to pursue that and the work with Jerry on that.
Okay, we'll follow up on that. Sounds good.
Because I think that's a good opportunity. Whether we need to do it beforehand kind of comes down to, you know, what's at risk for the organization between September 1 and October 17th or whatever the date is. Probably not much. Because you all are doing great work of making sure we're prepared for the transition. So, okay, any transactions that were extraordinary in the detail? Again, take a look at it, folks, because we've assured the auditor that this is how we operate and not put the onus on Jerry.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Wilhelms, take note.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Hall.
So I'm just trying to understand all of this.
Okay.
And so there's special events and then there's events. One of these says events, diversity events.
Oh.
I don't know what that is.
That's the budget. Wait, we'll get there.
We're not on the budget yet.
Oh, sorry.
I know they were put together.
Okay.
Yeah, in your packet. No, that's coming up.
Sorry.
Yeah. That is. We're going to cover that. Oh, I guess we're going to cover that next.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to wait for a committee report, but no. Ms. Thompson.
Would you like to stall it?
No, no, no. First, let me say that Nick and Jerry have been working hard on this for some time. The Budget and Finance Committee has participated. Sharon has had some input. And this is a current draft. It is going to go back to, after our discussion today, it is going to go back to Budget and Finance for fine-tuning as a consequence of our discussion this morning, and then will be presented to the full membership on the 17th. Thank you. So, Ms. Thompson, Mr. Herrera.
Okay, you have before you two items we want to call your attention to. One is titled Budget Notes. This is kind of an explanation of the categories that you will find in the draft budget. And just let me reiterate what our chair just told you. There was much legwork to be done, and I give special thanks to Nick and Julian and myself and others trying to nail down the ever-changing climate for the budget. There's so many things going on that it was almost impossible at some point to even know what to plug in as a figure. We finally were able to accomplish what you have before you. We accept that there will be changes. We hope there will be changes. As Fred said, this final draft has not gone to the Budget Committee yet. They are meeting next week. Therefore, I guess what we're seeking today is perhaps after our discussion, adoption of what you have before you with any changes you have recommended, contingent upon anything that might come out of the Budget Committee next week so that we can take the final to the full foundation meeting. That's kind of our goal today. It gets very confusing. There's been a lot of changes in previous figures we've discussed. We've got the operating budget versus the gateway budget. We have to worry about what is carried over from 2014-15 to 2015-16 in the gateway budget. Those are the things that we have done a lot of work on and hope we're on the right target. Julian was particularly helpful with us and spent a lot of time with Nick and myself identifying those things. We've tried to consolidate line items per our chair's instruction. That's not difficult when we deal with our operating budget, mm-hmm. but we found it to be quite difficult and maybe not very prudent on the gateway budget. The gateway folks, Julian and others, who are doing a lot of the planning and installation and whatever.
Herb and I are on the council.
Yep. They prefer to know exactly what has been budgeted for whatever activity is going to be taken on. So we complied with their request, but yet did some consolidation, but nothing drastic. Am I saying that right, Nick?
Correct.
Nick is the one that has all of the intelligence behind the budget, and he has worked very diligently with me to make sure we got to you what we have. That does not mean we will refuse any suggestions, any changes, or whatever. In fact, we will welcome them so that we can take it to the full budget committee. With that, I think that Nick can give you the best explanations of what we've done, and we'd like to start with the operating budget, which is the first page on this document that you've gotten. Okay, Nick?
Okay. Would you like me to just start at the top like we have before and just go through each portion?
Yes. I think like we did with Fred and this gentleman to my left. To my left, you heard me say that. Yeah, I think so. Let me just make one more preface. let me just add one more item. When we finish this, Fred and I, well, we, our committee, have looked at our investments and said, wow, we've got to be careful because we're going to be pulling a lot of money out. We got a lot of money that we need to handle prudently. With Fred's permission, I asked that Tony Meeker take a complete look at it and advise us on what he thinks is the best way to handle those investments so that we get the best return we can possibly get. I will only briefly discuss that with all of you after we've gone through the budget, only so that you get a feel for the revenue and what we're going to recommend be done with that. Tony, as of this morning, is sending me his recommendations that will go to the budget committee next week and then come to all you folks.
Another item that Jerry has not mentioned yet is that the committee will also be looking at some five-year projections, or maybe longer, Nick, what's the 10-year projections, because the license plate, obviously, another 40,000 license plates only gets us another 5 years or so at the rate they're selling now, and shorter, less time if they sell faster, or, you know, or less money in the interim, in the meantime, if sales decline. So we were trying to project out to make sure that we have a sustainable operation 5 and 10 years hence. Now, again, those are estimates, but it'll give us some kind of a sense of where we are as we proceed with this coming budget. Yes, Jane.
Jane gave me permission to.
Okay.
I just want to add to that we're not bringing that to you today.
No.
It's got to go to the budget committee, and there's a lot of discussion. We could really get hung up today if we started.
Right.
And that isn't as imperative as it is to get the budget done. We can work on the projections later.
Right. As long as we're confident that we were being prudent in this budget, then I think we shouldn't worry about what's going to happen 10 years from now.
A note for
but it's
five
useful.
Years.
It's a useful exercise. Ms. Cease.
5 years, the series will run out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So if you want to, I mean, you just remember that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, right. I'm kind of, that's a.
P9X,
right.
YZ.
Right.
I'm
going to let DMV worry about that.
40,000 will.
DMV will figure that out. It's like, you know, I'm ambivalent about, and it won't be me. I'll be somewhere else 5 years from now. whether
luck.
To ask for another 40,000 plates, you know. Okay.
Okay.
Can I ask a logistics question before you start down the sheet? Mm-hmm. The two columns, 2015 actual, year-to-date March, and the other one that says 2015-16 budget, what are the actual time frames for each of those columns?
Our fiscal year.
Which is?
July 1 to June 30. That's
column two.
Three.
One that says 2015-16 budget.
Right, that's a full 12 months.
Yes.
Okay, what's the first column when it's?
The first column is expenditures, actual expenditures year to date March.
So
only
three quarters.
March.
It's three
through
quarters.
March.
Yeah. So it's three quarters of a fiscal year.
Starting from when through March?
July 1.
July 1 of 14.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Good question. Thank
yeah, it's
you.
Our it's our fiscal year to date.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. And so remember, that's 9 out of 12 months. So for things that kind of have a monthly tap, you've got to multiply it by 1.25. To get a sense of how this year's budget relates to next year's proposed budget. Right, Nick?
Correct.
Thank you. Now we'll let Mr. Herrera proceed.
Okay. So starting at the top of page one is operating income. You'll see that this is significantly different than in years past. We've collapsed these income categories so that on the budget, they won't necessarily be recorded so specifically. For example, on the budget, you won't see if somebody donates in memory of someone. That information will be recorded in Bloomerang, and we will be able to run reports and have access to that information. For purposes of the budget, we felt that it is more efficient to record that information and categorize it all as individual or corporate donations. We split those out into events income, which is just a little bit down the sheet there. So if somebody donates for a specific event, the Hello Again party, or to sponsor something else that we are putting on, then it gets put into that income category.
Because it's specific to event.
Correct. And we use events often to specifically to raise money. You'll see under earned income, this is where the biggest change is. And these are income categories where we sell something to make money. And we've had ornaments for a long time. We sell a lot during the holidays, and then they kind of trickle out throughout the year. So not a huge income earner for us. But you'll see the license plates there. This is based on an analysis that I did looking at when we first started selling license plates to, I believe, through the end of 2014.
And right.
We've been selling an average of 524 plates per month throughout that time period. And after you split the money and deduct the fees, we net about $44.58 per set. So if you do the math, you're looking at about $280,000 in income for the year based on those numbers. That goes up and down. I think that license plate renewals actually end up being
right. There's more in the summer than the right. I guess there's more car sales in the summer.
I think there's still some leftover from when we did a transition to you're having to go through the clean air stuff years ago. There were bulk. Never mind. That's what it looks like to me.
Is that
anyway? This is I've looked at Nick's analysis, and it's consistent. We are they're still selling. They're still popular. You're seeing more of them. The sales have not declined on average. In fact, it's quite healthy. And so,
So the 524 average is still accurate. It's not because we had a great big sale in the beginning and it's dropped off.
Between when we started selling it to the end of my analysis, I didn't see, it looked cyclical, but it was never, I didn't see any indication that between that time there was a drop off trend
179.
In license plate sales. Or in other words, I don't think that they're becoming less popular over time.
Oh.
Good.
Well, at one point, Mr. Chair and Nick, we didn't have material in the DMV offices, and we had to ask for that, and there was a pickup after that, I think.
And I think there is something else happening. I've been in crowds of people who would say, what license plate is that? The more that are out there, the more the interest.
Yeah, you say you can take it off your income tax.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, my neighbors have them.
Mm-hmm. Good work.
Well, and you know, now that I have two vehicles with these plates on, I'm just quite comfortable in asserting their status plates.
Yeah.
Okay. Like.
Question on this segment right here.
Yeah.
Earned income. Two things. I'm assuming that the blank under year to date, we see the year to date over in the gateway.
Yes.
Right.
What about those DVD things?
Those are earned income for the History Gateway.
Yeah.
Okay.
A funded event. Yeah. Expenditure. Yeah.
Oh, there they are. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Yes. Good.
So.
Have we done special, have we gotten to special events yet here on the, okay.
So we have events below that. That's income earned through event sponsorships that we ask of our contacts. This number has been projected based on Ginny and Sharon's development goals for the upcoming year, and it's based on a significant increase in corporate donations for special events. To me, seems very doable, considering we've gotten a little bit more or a lot more attention from other corporations like Walmart and Fred Meyer wanting to donate for our events. So.
And may I just add, and this will come up later, we're also getting more attention in the media, the broad range of media, which helps those corporate donations. And we need to continue that, and we'll talk about that later when we get to the gateway.
Right. Now, I noticed here on the budget notes that it includes income earned from the sale of tickets for the Hello Again party. And the Hello Again party, we don't know where it will be if Oscar goes through, would be, still be February 2017 in the fiscal year following this next one. So are we really counting ticket sales for an event that in the budget year that doesn't happen in this budget year?
That is.
Sharon, do you have any insight on that?
Yes. In reality, on a normal budget year, we would not have done that. But we were trying to build a full organizational budget that reflects everything we do. So that was why we put everything in. And if the revenue any revenue or expenses for something for the next year would just get carried forward then into the next year's budget.
Okay. I want.
So we could take it out, but what we were trying to do was build a budget for this organization that was truly reflective of a year of everything we do. And Hello Again just happens to be in a different year, and that was why I put it in.
Well, I believe that's
and a little. I would anticipate that about half the sponsorships would come in this year, ahead of time. But we could reduce it. But what we were trying to do was get a good baseline for the organization going forward.
Right, and so I'm just kind of pointing that out because there'll be another entry when we get to expenses, operating expenses for the Hello Party expenses.
You don't incur the revenue.
Right, it's a wash. It's a wash, and we just know that any corporate contributions we get that are specific to the 2017 Hello Again Party are just indeed those. Okay.
Yeah, they'll get carried forward. And again, there's two arguments for doing it either way, and there's no right or wrong. We were just trying to build so everybody could really see what the organization would look like in a normal year, where we were doing everything.
In an odd numbered year, I guess, or, every other year. We're not adopting a biennial budget. We are operating on an annual thing.
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
Right. There may be cause for a goodbye party, is how I'm phrasing it. Some celebration of leaving the building.
An evacuation plan.
An evacuation plan.
Our plans are to only do this on a biennial basis on the odd year, right? For
right.
Either a hello or a goodbye.
Yeah, right.
Well, goodbye would be in this year.
One school thought is you could not put it in, the other one is you can put it in.
Right. Right.
And it is not inconceivable that if we're really tuned up and ready for the next legislative session, we could begin to get contributions.
Absolutely.
Still in the 15-16.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Right. Right. Now.
Yeah.
Now there was another discussion, and I guess the advantage of serving on the development committee is that I manage to attend. There's some talk about, and I think it's doable, is to get corporations to generally contribute, to have some overall support for the foundation rather than specific events.
Yes.
And right. And so I'm just asking, I'm bringing that up now because of taking corporate donations from general operating income and putting in bulk of it into special events tying it to specific events now, we just won't worry about it. It'll come one way or the other, right?
Right.
Just FYI. Right. Heard. Good. Good. Herb.
On the restricted side, I think we're still discussing the possibility of having corporate donations for the windows.
Of course.
So.
Right. Yeah. That's not so that's another obviated okay. by this. No.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Nick, proceed. Sorry.
So, the $33,000 in events income. I would just like to mention again, Fred briefly touched on it, we could do an even-yeared event like a goodbye party or something like that. And there's been some discussion. So that's why also why we felt to we should keep it in there just in case. We can obviously amend that, use that number around if we need to.
Mr. Chair, excuse me.
Ms. Hall.
If Oscar does get passed, does get its funding, when are they anticipated to say goodbye to the building?
At the end of the short session, so March of 2017. 16.
Okay.
Right.
No, that,
With the proviso that the 550 building be ready to accommodate. Well,
that's why that.
Well, it's supposed to be by 1st of January.
Right.
First of the year.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So beyond events, we have grants. These are targeted grants identified by Ginny and Sharon that we are pursuing. I don't know the current status of them, what the prospects look like, but these are ones that we are pursuing, and we're remaining optimistic that we will get that income, and that is $85,000. In grants. You will see in the notes section, the fourth column and the budget notes here, that those specific grants are, like all other grants, are given out for a specific purpose or reason. So it's under operating income, but it will be used for something, an identified project or program, because we will have to justify how we spend those funds to whoever gives us that money. Mm-hmm. Below that, you'll see operating investment income. This is just based on the previous 12 months, what we might earn in the market. Dodge & Cox hasn't been doing well. So not a huge portion of our income. Another huge change is in-kind income, and we've attempted to quantify that in this next year's budget. It's not something that has been previously recorded, but we, like Sharon said, we want to get a holistic view of all of the income that the foundation receives, and that includes in-kind donations from staff time and legal work.
Well, it's also important that we track in-kind donations, sure, which we have not necessarily done on a formal basis before.
And maybe it's later. We have other in-kind for events like the
cake or
like the Christmas thing.
Yeah. Electrician's time.
Anyway, we have a lot of in-kind. So what, does that get captured somewhere?
I haven't captured because I just don't have the backup, but if you have that information.
Jolene has it.
She has that information.
Well, and I may be misspeaking, but I don't think those are important as these that we know are going to happen. The in-kind, when it occurs, will get recorded in the budget.
Right, so I think we need an other in-kind line here is all.
Yeah.
So. That's true, it is what it is.
Yes, Sharon.
That'd be fine.
Next year. What we're saying, I think what we're saying is to have an item, at least
a line item.
A line item that doesn't have the figure in it. We'll just plug them in as they as we receive them.
That's right.
I think we're all saying the same thing.
Yeah,
good.
We're saying the same
Gary.
Thing.
Give me an example of other in-kind here.
Cake.
Who?
Cake donations.
Wine, whatever.
Cake, also wine, some, Christmas
not,
tree.
Not necessarily big.
Christmas trees.
Yeah, they're the little things that happen with events that typically.
Walmart gives us cake. Jerry.
Somebody donates
Frank
a tree.
Does not give it to us.
the penitentiary folks giving us a work party.
Going back to discussion that we were informal discussion we were having earlier about individual members expenses in performing their duties to the foundation, that would not in some way be classed as in-kind, other in-kind, would it?
Well, we have discussed that, Gary, and we're not quite sure. You know, we could go so far as to every time we're at a meeting, that's an in-kind contribution of our time. But then you get to the point of how do you value all of that?
Well, that's
the bookkeeping becomes horrendous.
I'm not proposing that we add it. I'm proposing that we don't get ourselves into a situation where we have to start keeping the books on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's exactly where our discussion went. You know, is the value there enough to do all the little entries?
I think the value is to the individuals, not the organization.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Joan.
Raise this portion of the table.
Thank you, Joan.
I agree with where you guys landed, but at some point in terms of qualifying for grants or something, we might need to make an estimate of the time that we spend or something because it shows that there's a commitment on our part, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Which we have done. We've sat down and said, okay, everybody, give us an estimate of your time that you've spent
as a volunteer.
Well,
we have done that. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're just not budgeting it. Sharon, any comments?
Yes, everything you said is correct, and I've already been doing it, you know, estimating in kind of time and stuff in like the Oregon Culture Trust grant. So,
good, great.
Better with that, but don't put it in your books. Right?
Great,
thank you. Okay, Nick.
So, just to bounce off of that, that's a great example for the LA staff time in kind donations.
Right.
That number is based on, I have a log that I keep, which is just how much time did I spend on foundation stuff today? I put in a number and make a note about what I did and things like that. And then that way, when I'm estimating the in-kind donation, I can look at the average of the time that I spent, and then we take what would we charge a member of the public if I needed to process a public record? Which is the only time that we would ever charge for my time. And I just take that number, multiply it by the average amount of hours that I spent, and then I just rounded up. I think it was 24,000 something, and I just rounded up to 25. And so I did the same for Jolene on Gateway stuff.
How about Heather?
Heather was here for such a short period of time.
Okay.
A question on your FTE estimate here. In the legislative habits of FTEs, we do not only salary but other personnel expenditures and all of that. You're just talking about pure time and salary here, right?
My that amount that we charge for my time includes benefits. It's the whole deal.
It's the whole thing.
What it costs.
It's a percentage of what.
OBE.
Okay.
OP. Other.
Miller Nash pro bono work. They've agreed to $2,000 worth of pro bono work. So, I think we've probably hit that.
Yes.
In
Gary.
In our previous discussions and in the preparation of the legislative administration's budget, has there been any discussion or is there any leeway in there for additional work on the part of legislative administration?
Yes.
Value that will find its way into our budget.
Additional
man hours, or full-time position.
In there. I kind of want to have a brief discussion of that when we get to personnel costs.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Good point. You're on point.
Subtotal operating income projected for next fiscal year is just over $470,000. Obviously, that significant increase is due to license plate sales that have been shifted from Gateway to operating. So, now we start looking at History Gateway income for next year. This is where we've gone back and forth, and I've been adamant that we keep previously earned History Gateway license plate funds under History Gateway earned income for last year until we know that those funds can be shifted to operating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite prudent.
Absolutely. So that is why the $179,000 number
disappears.
Goes
bye-bye.
To zero. Yeah. It's just moved up to operating. But that number, that 179 number, is year to date for this last fiscal year.
Right.
So I want to, I want everybody to see that shift.
Great. Change. Great.
DVDs. We projected selling 30 of them, a few every month in the gift store. I believe that's the plan right now, is to sell them to the store. And I made the assumption that everybody that buys them would get the 10% Friends discount, which nets us $16.20. So just under $500 next year.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I have a question there.
Jerry.
And I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but last night as I was reviewing this again, it occurred to me, Nick's statement, he's assuming that everybody is a friend, therefore they get the 10% discount. Does the gift shop encourage a friend's membership in exchange for a discount? In other words, are they capable of, or are they able to sign up friends in exchange?
Ooh.
My experience, excuse me, Mr. Chair, has been if I go into the gift shop, I have to tell them I'm a friend. I don't think they're offering up anything or marketing for us.
I see it as a great opportunity.
It's a great opportunity.
To encourage more friends.
Well, the brochures are in there.
Yeah, but
let's get Julian
pick it up
here
and
right
walk
now.
Away and read it later.
Well, let's talk to visitor services and ask them about a sign or something.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Right.
Somebody will do that.
Right. Yes.
I just think it would make the people working in the gift shop feel better, too, I think.
Kind of like people apply for a credit card,
Because they're increasing the cadre of friends.
Mm-hmm.
They could even print on the receipt that comes out of the cash register. Save yourself 10%, whatever you want to put on there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Or 10% discount for friends.
Big red ink.
And what we don't
just
have
to
is a marketing
their attention
plan for the DVD.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Jerry.
Could have saved.
Mr. Wilhelms, you had some folks that were interested in purchasing the DVD. Have they?
I believe they have. Grover Simmons was definitely one who wanted to. He was after them 6 months before they were ready to sell.
Right.
Because he wanted to show it at some of his the facilities that he represents.
Right. Well, I guess that's the other thing, that we each of you here are quite capable of presenting this, as I did to the Optometric Physicians Association, and giving them some background on the foundation, and then the film, which speaks for itself, and then answering questions and offering them for sale. And people, when they see it, they want it. They want to give it to their children. They want to take it home and share it. And I have had no one take us up on the offer to Fred Neal, take it on the road anywhere in the state.
We don't have a speakers bureau.
Well, you got me, and
well,
we've
you
got.
You filled in for me on that one.
Right, and we've got any one of us, I think, are capable of doing it. And so if you know folks, and it makes me think of Don Ballmer, Don and Betty, and they're at Twilliger Plaza, and Don is putting together, he always has this Saturday morning breakfast thing, and they tell everybody in the plaza what's up, and it's well attended every week. And I've got to remind myself to tell Don, pick a Saturday I can be there, and this is a great breakfast presentation.
Have we already given one to each member?
We have not given one to each member, kind of hanging on to them, but it wouldn't hurt, because then it's not a bad idea, because each of us would then have some sense of what's in it again, and could show it to people. We have one that's dedicated to
legislative member.
Oh, no, we haven't.
Is it a gift?
If you really want to do
a speaker's, we're exempt from gift restrictions.
Is it a gift or is it education material?
Education material, obviously.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if you really want to do that, we just need to do some sort of a press release to organizations or the Capital Club organization saying people are available to do this, and you'd get some requests.
Okay, because my summer's not entirely booked.
Well, it's an easy thing to do. I mean,
it is pretty easy, actually.
It's an easy program. As a program chairman for an organization that has regular meetings, this is a great program.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
It makes it easy for you to do one program.
And I'm telling you, it's pretty easy to present it, you know, because we each have strong feelings about the foundation and what it's done, and we've got lots of history.
I don't want to dwell on this, Mr. Chair, but the group that UPA, is that what it's called? Oregon Optometric Physicians,
right.
UPA. Year before last, they had called and wanted somebody to speak, and I was the one, and we got it was scheduled here in Salem on the time we got snow and ice. They canceled the meeting. Then they came back around the second time for me, and we got Fred to do it because I was gone. But at the time that they came to us, why would UPA want to hear somebody from the Capital Foundation? And I asked. And their lobbyist had encouraged them to call us.
Yeah, that's why I was saying the Capital Club.
To hear about what was going on in the Capitol. So that takes me to where I'm going. Maybe the lobbyists should be made aware of this for their clients.
Same idea with
Not
the Capital
give it,
Club.
But make them send them a letter and
that's
let them know
saying.
It's available.
That's what Jane was saying. No, that's good.
Show it at their annual meeting.
Right.
Because they're always looking for something, too.
They good are. Discussion, but let's...
Let's move on.
Let's move on. Nick.
Okay. Investment income, same as operating, just projected based on what we earned last year. So subtotal, other income, in-kind staff time for the gateway. This includes Jolene, as well as an estimated $9,000 from staff to assist in putting on gateway events in the Capitol.
What's HG?
History Gateway.
History Gateway. Okay.
So yeah, I see. Okay. Jolene's portion of that $34,000 was developed the same way that my portion was. Take her rate, estimated hours, multiply.
This would be like overtime for cleanup staff and extra security.
Yes.
Okay.
So she just gave me a broad. We estimate about $9,000 for all the events that all the other staff helped put on throughout the year. So your total operating and history gateway income for the next fiscal year is projected at $507,000. Keep in mind that this is only money earned in next fiscal year. This doesn't include money in the bank.
Okay. All right. And again, those totals changed because of the additional 5,000 in special events and individual donors and 28,000 in corporate contributions and then the 85,000 in grants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Questions? Herb?
Just a question. Looking at that other staff time. Since we now consider the whole Capitol as the center, is it possible that we could capture the volunteer time at the kiosk, the guide time, as in-kind donations for the foundation?
I don't know that would be appropriate because those
were pre-existing,
would be offered regardless of the gateway.
Right. We didn't have a gateway, the tours wouldn't be as good.
Yeah.
But that's not a, right. It doesn't equate the other way, right.
Okay.
Gary. Is the development committee pursuing the grants?
Yes. Yes. Ginny is working hard with Sharon and quite consistently. I've got Sharon's notes to Ginny on individual contacts, and they are tracking those.
Okay.
Yes. It'll spare you, Sharon, from having to go through those in detail. Okay.
So we move into
expenses.
We start with operating expenses. This chart of accounts will look probably nothing like last year's budget, because this is where we've done some moving, some consolidating and changing of accounts, and we've done all of that work based on the idea that the budget should match the operations and not the other way around. The budget should work for the foundation. It should be a tool that reflects what the foundation is doing and what they want to do in the future.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Madam.
I'd like to just add that in all of Nick's and my conversations, as well as with the budget committee, one of our goals, if you remember, is to make every member of the board very aware of the budget and understand the budget, hence the idea of a training session. Nick's fear and my fear, we can concur, is that it's too easy to put this on paper, lay it aside, and go about our merry way. This should be the driving tool on what we do, and if we make changes, at some point we have a recommendation to the policy committee that when we make changes to the budget, make adjustments mid-year, say, that we do it with a purpose in mind and understand fully the impact of that adjustment.
Bravo.
So we start with just the general operating expenses, office supplies, if we need to buy pens, paper, that sort of thing. Postage, we had decided to keep this out as a separate line item because postage can get expensive. This postage line item is just for general correspondence, mailing thank you letters, things like that.
Not the newsletters or overall major
correct.
Development campaigns. Okay.
Printing, this also is just for general small printing jobs that are unrelated to major campaigns or projects. Legal fees. This $7,500 number, it includes the expense for the pro bono work. So any in-kind donations, you put on your budget as income received, and then it's automatically expensed out. So it's a net zero, but you show what you're getting. And what's
right.
We've estimated, because of the large transition in September, we will likely need some extra legal support from Miller Nash. And we anticipate that we'll probably have to start paying them, and it'll go above and beyond that $2,000 mark. So we've included an extra $5,000 budgeted in case we need any extra help.
Joan, do you want to comment on that at all? No.
He stated it perfectly.
Gary.
Now that we are going to be a separate entity, do we lose our support from legislative council?
Nope.
We do not?
Well, Kevin doesn't. But I don't think that I can, like yesterday, I had a chat with Dexter and I could tell Cheryl that she says, well, who's the requester? And I says, well, Fred Neal is the requester. And she said, because we are part of the legislative department until September 1. Mm-hmm. I think after that, I need to call Dexter rather than trying to get.
But we're still still a legislative entity.
Yeah. Yes.
Except we're specifically excluded from being a part of the legislative department.
Are we still part of state government?
No. We have a statutory charge, and we are appointed by the LAC, but no, we are not part of state government as of September 1.
So the answer to the question is then we're not sure whether or not
we will rely on Miller Nash for guidance.
Okay, anything we get from legislative council, if they agree to do work for us.
I think they're going to be responsive to the administrator. They're not going to do work for us. They'll work for Kevin. And if we have an issue that works, that is relates to either interpreting our statute for Kevin's sake, or Kevin on our behalf has a question to ask counsel, then we'll work with Kevin on getting.
We don't get charged for their time.
No. No, but we won't get much of their time. We will go to Miller Nash for legal advice on as a 501c3 separate entity. Yeah.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
And Gary, I think it comes under sub 10 of the 2037 bill.
Administrative support?
Yeah.
Well, that's where Kevin. We go through Kevin after September 1 to ask.
Yeah, well,
I don't go to Dexter directly.
Basic concern is if we do get administrative support, but we have had a change in our status. Does that mean that if we get administrative support that involves legislative council time, are we going to end up being the ones that get charged for the time?
Well, we'll work that out. We have a memorandum of understanding pending with Kevin, and that's a good point.
I hope that's in the memorandum.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. No, we haven't drafted it yet.
Good.
You raise a good point. Appreciate
it. It is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks.
Nail that down.
Even though our members are appointed by the Legislative Administration Committee, we are not a government body.
Yeah.
It says in the bill that we're not a part of the legislative department or a public body as defined in ORS 174.109. Now, I don't know if there's other parts of the statutes that aren't 174.109 where we are a public body. I don't know, but that's what the bill says.
That's why we have 3,000 bills every session, is to straighten this kind of stuff out.
Right.
Legally, I can understand the wording there, but I think public perception would be.
Sure.
Right.
We are part.
Yeah. I think it's very important that the public still think that the Capitol is theirs.
Yes.
And all we're doing is to help them maintain and preserve and enhance their building.
We represent the public to the legislature.
And none of those responsibilities that we have
don't
now were changed. They're still in 173.5, and we're still supposed to do them.
And we're going to follow public records policy and notice
right.
and stuff.
Yeah, we're going to act transparently as though we were a public entity, okay? Including our budget. Continue.
Good Nick. Discussion, though.
Yeah. Yeah, people are it's a good learning curve.
And we should have it again in October.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Well, we should have it again in 2 weeks with the full membership.
We've included $2,000 for insurance because we separate 501c3, we will need general liability and directors and officers insurance. I don't have backup for the 2,000.
That's high. Sharon gave me some numbers that indicate about 14, but I haven't got any bids yet, and I'm working on it. So 2 is good.
Yeah, 2 is good.
I say let's leave it at 2.
Stick with 2.
Because I even have a concern it might not be enough.
Yeah, good.
Find out. I'll let you know.
No, I think this is a pretty high number. I think it'll be all right.
Yeah, we're safe.
Yep.
The next line item is in-kind personnel. This is just simply equal to the operating in-kind income, like I said before, revenue, and then it's just automatically expensed out off the books. But it shows that number.
It's a wash.
Yeah, exactly. Professional services. This is a line item for any expenses incurred for professional services typically received through a contract with a professional beyond what we would pay for personnel.
So like development?
So development. Or, for example, we typically pay for a retreat facilitator every October for the board retreat. That's a professional service received through contract. That the $50,000 number is maybe a little high, maybe a little, it's still kind of up in the air because the whole question around development professional, how we're going to staff, all those different questions play into what that number might be. We're still looking through that. So I would say always good to go a little high to be safe.
Sure.
Doesn't mean we have to spend all the $50,000.
Nick, I will try to go back on my notes. Please reassure me. Does that include accounting or accountant? Does that include the audit? Okay, thank you. I keep worrying about it, and I don't know why. Okay.
So that would include any professional services through contracts. So that would be the audit, bookkeeping services, things like that.
But just so folks know, you'll be getting to some other ones later on that are gateway related. This is not has nothing to do with gateway contract support.
Yes, this is only operating.
Right.
Personnel is the next line item. We've budgeted 125. This includes $100,000 for an executive director type of position at 0.5 FTE. The idea is that the executive director position would be hired on contract. The other $25,000.
We're changing that, but
well, yeah.
We'll get to that.
Asterisks. We'll get. Yeah. Go ahead, Nick,
so
and
the
explain
other $25,000 is budgeted for a 0.5 FTE legislative administration employee. At a executive support specialist, step two. Now, I said all of that, and through recent conversations and discussions, a lot of that staffing model will likely change.
Yeah.
Based on the conversations that we just had this morning with Kevin. So. We're still working through what that model will look like and what fits best for the organization. So I would say right now we have $125,000 budgeted for staff. We'll work out the details as we go.
And it should be worked out well in advance of the 17th.
Good.
Okay. And maybe when's your committee meeting next week?
Monday.
Well, maybe not by Monday, but of
why
this,
not?
Well, it can. It could be. It could be. Keep the pedal to the metal.
All right. But at least we have the placeholder, and we know that's going to change.
And I have some questions about this overall thing as well. Gary?
Well, I'm a little confused. If it includes $100,000 for the executive director contract, a half an FTE, and $36,889 for development services, that's more than $125,000.
I just noticed that note, the 36889, scratch that out.
Thank you. That's very confusing. Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right. Phew.
Good job.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it's up above anyway under professional services. I couldn't figure out why. And then included in the 50. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's half of my question. The other is the auditor. Did we pay?
Up in the next one.
That's in professional services.
Well, I know, but. 36889 is what Sharon, as of March 1, had been paid, correct?
That's development.
And so it does not include the audit figure in the first column in year-to-date. Because it seems to me we paid Sherry after July 1. She didn't even give us an audit until the July meeting of last year.
The other Sharon.
Scholes. Sherry. Sherry. Sharon-like. Okay. All right, so we need
not
that.
An auditor.
No.
I'm proud of it.
Well, you're listening to us.
She says so demurely.
So I think you need to adjust both of those, okay, because the 50K should also be 55, I think is what we, didn't we? It seems like we had some agreement with Sherry that she wasn't getting paid enough.
Right.
Okay, it was four, then five. We're at five right now. Okay.
Well, wait a minute. Hold it.
So 41889 and 55 under professional services.
Hold it. You're talking about the increase we gave her in this year's budget?
Well, this
current
year's budget,
right. The total was
5,000. Right.
We increased it by 1,000.
Oh, okay.
So are
right.
you saying that was not enough?
No, that's enough. So
okay.
we should probably put in 6, right? Is that right?
I don't know.
We got to go back and look
no,
and see what
we had the auditor at 4,000. Tony said we need to increase to 1,000, which we did. We took previous action to do.
Right.
I would budget 6,000 here if it were me.
Well, just a minute. Let me walk my way through so we got a full understanding. So are you saying to me she's asking for more?
No.
But you feel she needs more?
It may well be that we're going to ask her to do more or hire a CPA. I mean, that issue's come up.
Bill requires an annual audit.
Annual audit. Right, we know that.
But we just want to be sure we got the right amount or close to the right amount in there.
It's
5 this year.
Yeah.
You want to take it to 6 in the next fiscal year.
No, I'm fine. I was just thinking the additional.
Okay, well, that's already in this.
Yes.
In the 50.
No.
No, hold on.
Oh.
The $50,000 number originated from Sharon's contract. I'm making the assumption that we will not have a full Sharon's contract will likely not be for the same amount next fiscal year.
For a full 12 months, right.
I'm making the assumption that it'll be less, which leaves, I believe,
all right,
sufficient room in that $50,000 number to absorb the audit.
The audit, the accounting, and other contracted services.
Yes.
Nick, how much is the accounting services annually? Just so folks understand what percentage that is.
Give me 1 second.
That might be helpful.
You're talking about the bookkeeper?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chair, I promise we'll get through this.
Nope, that's fine.
Oh,
I just got
Herb's just looking at
5,000.
Is that for
bookkeeping?
That transaction we paid bookkeeping 5,000 for a month or no?
No, that's from August through.
Does it have a date? Transaction. He's in transaction details. Of transaction detail.
Total bookkeeping services.
So from August, from the beginning of this fiscal year to the end of April, $5,000.
Over 9 months.
Yes.
So it's 70, so it'd be 75, so it'd be 6,000.
Right.
For bookkeeping.
A full year, yeah.
For a year.
So then my question is, we want to have 5,000 for the audit, and we want to have 6,000 for bookkeeping in 15-16.
Right.
Do we anticipate spending more than $39,000 for other professional services?
Well, probably not, because most of the contracted professional services will be on the gateway side. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or then development.
Then development. Mm-hmm. And
well, if you didn't need development, though, if you hire the right executive director, they should have that responsibility.
No, it's not in our model now. We're going to.
We can't do that.
We're going to hire. That's not what we're anticipating now, Sharon. We're anticipating a new development contract by January at the latest.
And so what I'm hearing is we will basically be shifting the executive director portion of the personnel budget up to professional services.
An executive administrator, as Laurie has written
in personnel.
It will be, to start out, a half-time position.
Right.
Transitioning.
Right. And also, the other professional service is like the Michael Cosmalas of the world, if we have a facilitator for strategic planning or the retreat. Now, if Murdoch Foundation comes in and says, we're going to give you a training session on what it's like to be a 501c3, that'd be fine. That's a gift. I mean, it's
so
an
you might want to put like 3 to 5 thousand for that line item.
Yeah, and rather than a line item, I think we should be under professional services.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm adamant.
You're just trying to itemize it out for folks to know what.
Right.
Can I make
a
suggestion? Because this has all been changing since we last met a week ago.
Correct.
Can we do this? Can you, Mr. Chair, and whoever else itemize for us what you see going into professional services, so we can be sure we're either close or not close.
And personnel.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, and we'll work with Nick on that.
Good.
He's tracking it. Yeah. Today about
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I know this is all evolving and changing, right. And at least we've got the line item. Now let's get
no,
it as
I think
close
it's great.
As we
we'll
can.
Figure. We'll have it certainly nailed down by Monday.
You're wonderful. You might get a gold star.
Thank you, boss.
Ooh, I've been promoted. Well,
it just takes me back to the FTA administration.
Yes.
I was there enough to feel like a staffer.
You were part of the staff, yeah. I think.
Whatever she wanted, she got.
It should be.
All right. Nick, continue.
Any other questions on professional services and personnel? Next line item is dues. These are anticipated professional dues to be paid by the foundation for any staff, whatever that happens to be. If there's a professional organization we want them to be a part of, et cetera. IT and finance systems. This line item includes Bloomerang, Stripe.
Constant Contact.
All of the IT systems and payment processing systems that we use to accept donations, process them, charge credit cards, keep track of all of our donors.
And communicate with them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Foundation meetings. These are expenses incurred to put on a foundation meeting, like the coffee and the lunch and all those.
And that's just to give us a safe figure that it's so much more.
Well, and it includes the retreat, right?
Oh, okay.
It includes
good.
Lunch portion of the retreat.
It's another part of the
collection. Yeah,
yeah. Rental expenses.
Perfect. Understood. Good.
Herb. Parking passes.
What about parking passes? Oh.
Are those included?
Administrative
in
support?
Well, parking passes, yeah. Are those included?
No. They're not anywhere.
Should be, yeah.
I can include
good.
Those in office supplies.
Right. Now, I know that Joan and I have been writing checks occasionally to pretty much cover them, but they're not specified to cover them. I think they're being posted as donations, mm-hmm. correct?
No, they're just an expense right now, but I mean.
Office expense.
Well.
Reimbursed, then it will be a.
Well, I'm not calling it a reimbursement. I'm covering the costs to the foundation by writing an extra $100 check mm-hmm. every so often. But it's just a donation. In my own
that's
mind,
fine.
It's
that's
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I think we should add it as an expense.
I think we should too.
Right.
We don't have a policy that we're supposed to pay back.
No.
We just choose to.
Right. Correct.
I don't want to nitpick that, but we're not buying. I mean, we get free parking when in the off session.
When it's available, and it won't be ever again.
Well, yeah. Once the
yeah.
Okay. The passes that we're getting though are over here. They're not the $15 a day passes at the 10-hour meters around the building.
No, they are the yellow DAS.
What do they cost us? Because I'm proposing that we buy the $15 a day ones. That would be an increase in the budget.
I think the yellow parking passes are $6 a piece.
But there was talk that DAS was getting ready to increase those. Have you heard
really
anything
well
more about it?
Park
about that?
Yeah,
okay.
And you can park all day.
I'm an elitist. I'm spoiled. I'm crippled. And I like to park closer to the building.
And I totally agree
it's
with
not
Gary.
Not that far away.
Yeah.
Well, we can have some of both.
Okay, forget I brought it up. I'll just keep buying them myself.
That works.
And write it off on my
own. Yeah, I'm making donations. So.
If we want to spoil ourselves, I think that should be a self-inflicted expenditure.
The yellow one?
Yeah, well, because I have a yellow one, but I learned the hard way. You don't park at the 10.
Yeah,
yeah, I learned that. That's another reason why.
Because
then you pay $25 bucks for the parking ticket.
Yellow Pass works in the yellow lot. But
underground. Underground it works.
Oh, underground.
Yeah, underground or the yellow
at
lot.
The meters.
When
yeah,
I
at
have
the meters.
When I have the big pig rig, It won't even turn into the underground lot. Yeah, and I'm trying to find a space for that sucker, even on the red lot, yellow lots, a tricky proposition. Okay. Marketing and communications, reference the itemized expenses below for more detailed information.
Correct. So the marketing and communications section is or includes the newsletter, email campaigns, the proposed redesign of the website, any expenses setting that website up and implementing it, any expenses for graphic design work needed for those communication campaigns, as well as printing expenses. And we have a previous printing line item. What we're trying to do here is section out printing expenses incurred from want to print a major pamphlet. We want to distribute, you know, these are going to be probably printing expenses that are in the thousands of dollars that we incur for these sorts of things. Writing and editing fees if we need to hire somebody to help us put the newsletter together, do some writing for us. Education and outreach. This is the proposed education and outreach program that we've been discussing. And then this projects is sort of a buffer, things that come up that we want to partake in.
Just for note's sake, Nick and I got arbitrary about a couple of items, and that's the $4,000 out of education and outreach that we moved to History Gateway Advertising and Promotion. And there was another one, Nick. What was the other one we made?
The newsletter and email.
Yeah, well, the newsletter and email. And I think we did it with good cause. In conversations with Jolene, there are many opportunities that we could take advantage of for additional advertising. For example, Salem Travel, I think that's called.
Yeah,
if we have a membership there, they are more apt to put out notices of our events. We're missing, in other words, okay. In summary, we're missing a whole lot of opportunities. So we're moving that over so that we can really take advantage of greater and better advertising.
And could that be part of dues, too? Because don't you have to pay to be?
Yeah, Salem Travel, you have to pay dues.
How much is that?
500, I think it was, something like that.
I think it's like that. That's kind of, okay.
But that would all be part of Gateway.
Oh, Gateway, not our general operating.
I would add to that Jolene and her staff have shown that they can do quite an amazing amount.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
wonderful. So because of that, if they can do that much with almost nothing, what can they do with an extra $9,000?
And in conversations with us, it was abundantly clear there are a lot of greater things that can be done.
And they showed us a number of initiatives that they're currently pursuing and what that extra $9,000 can help them.
I would then recommend that we move dues from general operating expenses to Gateway.
That was for people.
Well, the only thing is, if we have staff,
all
there
right,
may
then,
be
then let's just add $1,000 in dues for Gateway.
Okay.
So I have a question about printing costs.
We may not spend the personnel ones, but that's might as well leave it in. Joan.
Printing costs, does this include printing costs for events?
Thank you.
So
that was my question.
I would say that any expenses incurred from an event, we would expense as a special event. So that would be at the end of the event, we know holistically what the expense was for that event.
Well, we know that now we've experienced with events, and so we know that we're going to do invitations and
right, and any kind of marketing type posters
kind of stuff,
or anything
so I
like that.
I would like to see it.
Is that coming
that
out
kind of
operating
stuff?
Well,
is that
and actually
put into this budget? Do we get a separate line item?
Yeah, it's under special events. It's next. I'm seeing these expenses here of 10.5 for ones we own, and then they.
But it's not under marketing and communications. Is my point.
Right.
No.
Okay.
It's tied to special events.
Okay, that's what.
Right.
I, okay.
And then that's also well. Okay, we'll.
But
get
it is a marketing there, and communication and printing cost.
Well, let's dwell just for a moment on that. When we've tried to design special events more on a consolidated basis so that you have an X amount to spend, your choice how to spend it, not line item. You know that you've got this amount.
Right.
Do whatever you want with it.
Okay. Okay. So print, post,
and we
advertise,
appreciate that.
Whatever.
Okay.
We wanted to give you greater flexibility. Now, there may be an event that's going to run a lot more and is going to drain some of it. Well, fine. You come to the board and say, we need more.
Okay. Yeah. I think that sounds good. Yeah. I like the flexibility.
Yeah. I think that's important in events.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Phew.
Any questions on marketing and communications?
Oh, newsletter is in here. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And because it's running higher.
Newsletter and email.
It's like nearly $4,000 per.
Nick had a figure that he came up with. We had arbitrarily $20,000 was given to us with no plan. As a matter of fact, there was a marketing and communication amount given to us with no plan where that's going to be spent. This is where we made one of our arbitrary decisions to move $5,000 out of that initial $20,000. The $15,000 remains for newsletters and emails based on the fact that there's going to be two newsletters a year.
Two. Okay, so far we had a rule that said we would have four, and it's still
in existence. Yeah, but didn't somebody tell you two, Nick?
I don't remember reducing
at least
it
three.
To two.
Two's not enough.
That's not enough.
Yeah. They don't have to.
We had that discussion at our last week's meeting.
Yeah, we failed to have the spring newsletter on schedule.
I think there will be two more this year.
Well, it'll be a July. No, there'll be for this calendar year. There'll be two more. Sharon and I are working on a plan to have one late July and one late October.
Okay. Well, bottom line is $15,000 too much, too little.
I would add, Sharon, aren't our newsletters running about $4,000?
I was just trying to validate that, and you know, and yes, and this has all changed in the last week, Jerry and Nick. Yes. I increase your budget for that, and if we end up dropping down to two, then you've got more money.
No, we're not going
to drop.
We're not going to drop to two. It's whether they're going to
see that the next year because of your low number of emails.
Right.
I would also say
it's not either
costs
or.
Have been inflated the last couple because of the delayed
right
execution,
right
which has required more staff time from in-house
right and no small bit of complaining from in-house right just I mean they're welcome to but they also there are other places that could benefit from our business I think we should add. I think we should add another 4,000, and then hopefully that would cover four newsletters of a reasonable expense.
All right.
In a 12-month period.
1,000 out of there to the History Gateway advertising and promotion. We can take that 5,000, move it back, or we can just add 4,000.
I want Jolene to have some flexibility
to
advertise on her own and know that we'll sign the check.
Yeah.
I'd put the 5,000 back.
Back here into newsletter or?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to take it away from
5,000 out, and now you're talking about adding 4,000 in. What are you doing?
I'm leaving that 5,000 that we moved out in Gateway so that Jolene has some flexibility.
Well, then why wouldn't
money.
We add 5,000 over there?
We do. That's
so
done.
Know, you guys, we're figuring it's about 2 to 3 hours a month to do emails.
Right, but we're covering that. We're covering that, and we're
just looking at it.
So there you are. You're 5,000.
Put it back and add to the other one. Is
what
I'm saying.
I don't care. You want 20,000 here, and you want an additional 5,000 over on the other one.
Right.
Exactly. Do it however you want.
Right. Got it.
Move the newsletter and email. amount back to 20,000.
Right. But leave the gateway money where it is in gateway.
Yeah, no change there, okay?
Joan.
And we anticipate that much of this will be contracted with
other entities.
Vendors.
Yeah.
And I guess I want to also make a point that I'm happy to see some writing and editing because we need people who can help us with that.
Good point.
I mean, it's
right.
valuable, and it's a skill that
right.
you have to pay for.
And we want to look good at the final
yes.
product.
Yes, so I found I need people to do that. Documents, brochures, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Okay. Good. All right. Now, have we covered special events adequately here?
No.
Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, sorry.
So special events is the next expense section. This is based on the new model that we're using. You'll see OSCF owned events, which are the Hello Again Party and any other events. There's been talk about doing a donor appreciation event or a goodbye party. These are events that the foundation itself. Up, it executes it, it arranges everything, which is usually one or two per
mm-hmm.
year on average. The sponsorships is a budgeted amount of money that we would like to give to the special events chair, who then can choose probably four events in the year and has $2,500 for each event to sponsor those four events that they meet the foundation's mission. They typically occur here in the Capitol but are not executed by the foundation. Typically, they're put on by visitor services. And the foundation just wants to say, look, we sponsored this. There are also events that we can use to gain sponsorships. We can solicit sponsorships from others.
Great.
So, I really like this model because it gets the foundation out of event planning and gets it out of putting on these events when we have visitor services who does.
Yeah, it's
really
a natural
oh, yeah.
thing.
And it allows the foundation to focus on.
No, we had this. I think we had this discussion at the last executive committee meeting, and it's certainly
yeah.
What the special events committee has been coming up with.
And again, it gives them flexibility
right.
within the budget.
Now, the one question is, I'm kind of confusing this in my mind, and because I see diversity events later, these three, and that's distinguished from these other sponsorships.
Those are not our
sponsored ones. Okay, good. Go ahead.
The other special events line item is $5,000, and I say for new opportunities. Those are things like the Tom McCall bill signing event, things that come up that we didn't
right.
couldn't previously plan for, but want to put our name on and be a part of.
Right. And you should put what we paid or our billed for if we've gotten it from.
That is the 245.
45. Okay, good.
I have a question down here.
Yes.
The Salem group that's being formed now for
heritage
organizations or wherever it is.
Right.
There may be some opportunities there also for us to partially sponsor
yep.
right.
things.
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So Jerry and I have talked over this portion a lot, and the idea is that the in total $25,500, the chair of the special events committee would have authority to execute that budget for that fiscal year with the presentation of a plan showing, these are the events we want to sponsor. This is an event that comes up and we want to be a part of that. But we want to give the events chair some flexibility to execute those events because we may have, for example, this next year, we don't have a Hello Again party, but we may want to take those funds and say move it to something else and make this next event
extra special. Right.
Did I misstate that?
No. Or conversely, I've got two events planned, but we've decided this event's better than that, so we're going to collapse it to one big event.
Okay.
It's all up to
one,
Judy.
Yeah, just one thing I would say is I think that's great. You're giving the chair the flexibility, but as chair at this particular time, I would feel uncomfortable doing that unless there is no way I could get a hold of my committee.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We expect you to.
Yeah.
Kind of,
you know,
in cahoots.
Try to do this, yeah.
Unless you want to party on that barge in Amsterdam.
Yeah. Ooh. How many foundation members are we going to have there?
Quite a few. Enough to make a party.
That doesn't take too many.
That's right. Okay. No, I think that's understood, I hope, Madam.
Yeah,
Madam,
I just,
Special Events Committee Chair, you are still on a...
Short leash.
Yes. Well, it's a flexible leash. It's one of those extended leashes. It can be locked at any particular length.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're uncomfortable. The
good.
Events Chair has the authority to execute that budget in consultation with the Special Events Committee and the Chair and Vice Chair of the
Okay.
Well put. Okay. So your subtotal operating expenses for next fiscal year are projected at $313,000.
But if you add $5,000 back in, it goes up, right?
Right. Correct. So just under $320,000. Then we move to restricted funds. These are funds that have been gathered or are fundraised for a specific purpose. We have the Walk of Flags. These are funds that are dedicated to repair and replace flags, flagpoles, maintain the Walk of Flags Memorial. Any questions?
Oh, Herb.
I'm just wondering where the 273 figure came from for last year, because it looks like we spent $719.30 on.
I just need to update that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is as of March.
Because
maybe those numbers came.
Because we had the vandals hit the two flagpoles,
yeah.
Right? And I keep looking at transactions, waiting to see when that comes out of our our pocket.
And that's already.
Well, I know, but I never saw it recorded.
It comes through under a legislative initiative.
Right, but you should be charging us in this restricted. That's what this restricted fund is for. And that's kind of where I told Kevin 6 months ago, let us know what the bill is so that we can
question
follow it. Okay.
On the Walk of Flags. So where's the money that is in the restricted fund?
It's back somewhere.
But we don't have it in this budget, do we? I don't see it.
It's
what was the question? I'm sorry, I didn't hear
it's
it.
It's part of the assets
the
dedicated to the Walk of Flags. Where's that showing in our...
It will come to that later.
Okay.
Later.
Okay.
Got it.
It's in the investment.
Was the minimum endowment amount to get into the Oregon Community Foundation 25?
Yes. And I'll have a report on that in a bit. But we may want to, under this item, once we get, but then next week, what monies we actually have received in this fiscal year towards that 25, and have that in this fiscal year column, and keep the 25, because I think, we're going to exceed 25.
Okay.
You know, by the time.
There's no advantage or disadvantage to getting it in before or after the change of fiscal year?
No. That's right. No, we just got to get it in to get into the OCF. Okay. Now, Tony and Jerry and I have been talking somewhat about the restricted funds. Are the flags and Medal of Honor truly restricted, and we need to go back and look at the intent?
We
don't have to list them as restricted because the but carry them as an item in our budget as that we are maintaining
as a budgeted item,
right? It's a budgeted item,
yeah,
but I'm not sure that it follows under the moniker restricted funds.
Yeah, you know, there's always an argument about restricted funds. I personally hate restricted funds.
Yeah, but
there is no flexibility. As long as it's a budget item, we know it's there and we know we got to protect it, but we still have an option.
Well, what?
Yeah, both of those are going to be spent down eventually.
Eventually,
and you're,
yeah.
And you're going to be, become operating funds
yeah.
for the
right.
and the future.
I,
so.
And I want us to have, and I, you know, I will be asking all future leadership to keep in mind that it was our project and we have an obligation mm-hmm. to help maintain it. And that's even true if we've got to help facilitate moving the Medal of Honor pylons to a new location with Oscar.
But that's all budgeted okay. items.
Right, but calling it restricted funds is another issue. I know Tony in our discussion was talking about moving it into endowment, into OCF, and I said, well, no.
No.
We don't need to do that.
Yeah, I misunderstood. We'll come to that discussion later.
Jane.
Mr. Chair, those funds were donated to us with a restriction on by the donors. The donors said this is to be how these funds are to be used.
Is that absolute?
Well, yes. In my recollection, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, then that makes it. That's where we got into trouble once before. What was it, Gary? Was it carpeting or something that somebody donated
the governor's office
it
carpeting?
And we had to go back to get them to release it so that we could use it.
That's okay. true.
Because there was no place to spend it.
But those funds were donated to the Capital Foundation, and the donors said, this is for this purpose. Now, when we did the fundraising for things like the Kids Eye Portrait, I very clearly said for this and maintenance or whatever.
As you did on the Atiyah Memorial.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So we were careful with it after that. But when those other ones were collected,
was this both Medal of Honor and Walk of Flags?
Absolutely.
I was even under the impression, as one of the donors, I was really under the impression that we were endowing the maintenance.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, if you want to shift it to just a budget item, I don't care as long as it's
no. That's
as long
fine.
As there's some legal.
As long as it's singled out.
As long as there's some legal all those funds
yes.
mandate.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So the consensus is
because we are tapping them for the expenses, as we can't tap the endowment. Right. It's
right.
Locked
that's right.
Up.
Well,
are those funds that were the surplus funds for the Walk of the Flags is an example that were sitting in the bank after the Walk of the Flags was done. Are those funds just sitting there and literally being spent down?
Being spent
there
down.
Are not any. There's no interest being earned or anything.
No, because they're in Treasury for one thing.
But we'll come to that discussion.
Yeah.
A little bit.
All right.
Yeah, we'll come to that discussion.
All right. Okay. Let me just point out that lunch has been delivered.
I know. Good.
And feel free to amble over individually and imbibe.
And let me just point out that Fred allowed us 20 minutes for this discussion.
Well, yeah, but we've had some. Good, yeah. Okay. My bad.
Too old to learn.
I lied. All right.
Thank you.
Where are we?
We're in the History Gateway now.
Okay.
The History Gateway, I separated into, just a second. You have administrative / operating expenses for the History Gateway. You have new projects associated with phase two of the History Gateway that have been approved.
Right.
You have events put on by the History Gateway, and you have projects previously approved that have either not been started or are not completed and are being carried over into this next fiscal year. So to start at the top, we have administrative / operating expenses. These are general expenses to keep the History Gateway running that are not project related. So you have printing and postage, $1,000. RFP development. RFP development is any expenses incurred for professional assistance in developing an RFP to get it out on the street to solicit responses. Meeting expenses, these are the same as the operating meeting expenses. These are lunches and coffee and
Right.
Things like that. You have personnel, which is the proposed 0.5 FTE state employee, also budgeted at as an executive support specialist one, step two, for $25,000. Also, I think we're still talking about that. That's part of the larger discussion about staffing, so we're still working through those details.
Well, and it's hiring them after July 1, so mm-hmm. this isn't a full annual mm-hmm. figure.
Correct.
FYI.
These are budgeted for 9 months.
Okay.
All of the positions currently in the budget are budgeted for 9 months.
Thank you.
Exhibit operation and maintenance. These are funds used to maintain existing exhibits that may sustain damage or need to be repaired in some way.
Or move to a temporary location because we got to get the hell out of here.
Yep. Correct.
Do we have to get out of here?
We don't know.
We'll find out. We don't know. We hope.
Well, I thought you meant out of this room.
Oh, no, no, no.
If I don't stop.
Subtle.
I got that
message. I thought he was kicking his ass.
I resemble that. In-kind donations are, again, for Jolene's staff time and the $9,000 estimated from other staff to put on History Gateway events. So a total administrative expenses for Gateway are about $90,000. Flipping to page 4 is when we get into the meat of the History Gateway. The overwhelming majority of the History Gateway expenses are project based. And I want to talk about for a second sort of the change that's happening in the budget. Previously, the History Gateway and the Foundation have always been essentially two separate budgets.
Sorry.
They've never really intermingled. We had to keep things separate.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying myself, as I've been putting this document together, is trying to think about History Gateway as more of a budgeted item underneath the Foundation. Now that the Pacific Wonderland license plates, we can use those for whatever we want, essentially, I believe we have to start thinking about the Gateway as a project of, in terms of budgeting and funding of the Foundation. And most of these expenses are project-based, and you'll notice as we go through, we spent the last 4 or 5 years or so raising a lot of money through license plates and basically storing in the bank. And we've been, over that 4 or 5 year period, we've started getting these projects going, and I think just now we're starting to get into full swing. Starting to get to a stride with those projects. So what you're going to see here is you're going to see a lot of these previously approved projects actually starting to get executed. So what you're going to see is you're going to see a major deficit based on money earned and money spent next year.
But we have things to show for it.
Exactly. Now, and that deficit's going to be shown because you're just now starting to expend those funds that were budgeted for previously.
Mm-hmm. You need to know that those expenditures are being overseen by two folks on the foundation. Who sit on the council?
That's what worries us.
Uh-oh. That established
well,
this priority.
There too. And Julene
too. Yeah.
That'll make you feel better.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, we're ready to present Oscars to. I'd like to interrupt this discussion to allow time for Marina Creswell, the renovation project manager, and our esteemed administrator, Mr. Hayden, to join us and update us on Oscar, especially since our building committee chair has been out of town and out of communication for weeks now.
I invoked her name at every stop.
I'm just happy that most of them misspelled it, so that when you do a Google search, you won't find me in any bad articles. You feel free to do that with the rest of them that you talk to if it seems like it's going to go south.
Well, take it anyway. Tell us what you want.
Okay. All right.
We'll tell you if we have more questions.
Okay. So I, sometimes it's challenging to know what to update you on because you've heard things at various times since the last time we met from different sources, including me in different meetings. And so if some of this is a repeat, I apologize, but I'm just going to kind of give you a little snapshot of what we're working on currently. Our biggest focus right now is on the 550 building and really starting to get that moving forward so that we're ready if funding approval comes through to start work as quickly as we can. So as part of that process, we have a number of things that we're working on. We have been working with DAS as far as, you know, addressing keeping the building held for us. We're starting work with them on lease negotiations. And we know that they have a tenant in there currently, and so we've revised our schedule a little bit to address some of their tenant issues. OHA is in there currently, and they've got two different groups that will be moving out at different times. There was some miscommunication earlier, I think, about when that would be, and so we've made some adjustments to our schedule to accommodate them so that they're not in a bad position. We are working with the City of Salem. We have turned in our plans for the site plan review process, which is the lengthier of our permitting processes with the city. It does involve a public comment period, so it has some sort of built-in length to it. And we have also turned in our drawings for building permits. So we're working on both of those fronts. The site plan review has to be approved before they will approve the building permits, but they are doing the reviews simultaneously. And we're working very closely and have been working very closely with the city to address, frankly, I will be shocked if we have any changes to be made for the building permit, because we've been working so closely with their folks to make sure that whatever we provided as plans already met their needs. So I think we're in a really good place there, and they've been very helpful to us in going forward. We do expect, as part of the site plan review, we're currently hoping to get in front of the Capital Planning Commission in early July. Through some, I think, maybe miscommunication or misunderstanding, I don't think we realized that we needed to touch base with them on our temporary site. So, yes,
sir. You need to get back to them. They've just canceled the July meeting.
I talked to Keith yesterday.
Okay.
Johnston, and he will be hopefully contacting you shortly, saying it's back on for the July meeting.
Yes. Okay. Because we realized, that. And the city is basically going to require it as part of the review of that temporary site. We knew that we did not need a formal approval on the capital renovation. I think that the temporary site was overlooked, so we're trying to catch up on that one. And we are also hoping to go have the general contractor put documents out to bid by subcontractors. We're discussing right now whether that is going to, whether those packages will be issued tomorrow. There's a possibility they will be issued tomorrow. We postponed it. We've already postponed it a little bit. We're concerned that if we don't issue packages for subcontractors to bid on,
very soon that we will not be in a place to issue subcontracts once the funding is approved to move forward as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So we need, there's a process involved in the bidding that is multiple weeks. We need to make it through all those weeks of the process so that when we get the green light, we can issue contracts and move forward immediately. So we're trying to find that right blend of not getting too far ahead of ourselves, and obviously we can't issue any contracts until we know that we've got approved funding, but we need to get everything in place in order to do it right away. So we are looking at potentially issuing those packages tomorrow and debating whether we push it off or not. On the Capitol building, we are still working through some of the more detailed design discussions. We have come up with final locations for our distinguished Camperdown elms. Mm-hmm. So our four old trees, and I say old lovingly, they are going to need to be moved for the construction. We debated trying to put them back to their existing locations, and we actually think that is the worst choice for the trees for a couple reasons, and part of it has to do with moving them twice. Exactly. So we know we have to move them for the construction.
Yeah.
We don't want to move them and then 4 years later move them again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the other part is that where they're currently located, we have our mechanical vaults underground, and the amount of space for the roots will be less than what they currently have. With these very established trees, they've had time to let their roots go wherever they want to go. We would actually like to put them in a place where those roots fit and then put in new camperdown elms that will accommodate that space. Mm-hmm. They will adjust for the space that they have. So we've come up with some final locations for those, and they're all on walkways or sidewalks, so they'll all be adjacent to a walking space, and they'll all be in the front area of the building, so they'll all be fairly prominent and easily accessible. We're working through monuments on the building grounds, and we know that there are some monuments we will have to move in order to do the construction. There's some that we anticipate when we move them that we will probably need to do some restoration because they may not fare well in a move. So we're looking at what that restoration is, how it is we kind of ensure the safety of the monuments.
Does that include the Liberty Bell?
That specifically is the Liberty Bell that we have our biggest concern over.
And that would be covered in the construction budget?
We need to. Yeah, we need to anticipate. And I think, you know, part of the issue there is...
Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Gary hates it, but...
It's been an ongoing fight.
Yeah, but it gets school kids. Yeah, we don't want to get into
it. It's a fate.
Thank you. You're out of order, Mr. Wilhelm.
So that decision is above my pay grade. As it is right now, the risk for me as a project manager is if we have our contractors move a monument and it falls apart, I can guarantee that the project will be paying for it. And we'll pay more if we have to do it after the fact than if we anticipate it. So to me, it makes most sense for us to address the potential now as part of our scope. And we're looking at some of the other monuments as well to make sure that we're not going to be in the same situation with others. We've been talking about our bronze windows and really sort of nailing down our scope on mm-hmm. the bronze windows, ensuring that the details of what we do are most compatible with the historic materials. Obviously, of course, we're still in ongoing discussions with SHPO. We talk with them frequently. But there are some things that we know as preservationists are important to maintaining the historic materials of the windows, and how we address those during construction can really have an effect. So we're looking at things like currently the window glazing is held in with putty. The putty is in poor condition. Under some circumstances, you would remove the putty and put in new putty. What we've determined is that the putty is actually hardened so much, and the kind of the way it's built, if you try to chip out the putty, you have a really big possibility of cracking glass. The glass is actually historic as well.
Right.
So rather than risk losing historic glazing, we're looking at an option to put a sealant over top of the putty joint. So it's not actually touching putty. Putty's kind of tucked back into metal. But it would cover the air slot in front of the putty. So it would keep the putty exactly where it is.
Wow.
But it would still seal our windows. So these are the kinds of things that we're talking through, the nuances of it. We are looking at potentially doing a mock-up of one of the windows, which is to say we would do all of the work that we anticipate being part of the full construction scope, but just on one window in place, and make sure that it can be done in a way that meets all of our needs. So we're talking through what that would be and where that window would be and what it might look like and when it would be done. We anticipate having 60% construction documents on Friday, and we are on track for that. So we're looking forward to getting that package.
Can we see those?
The 60% construction documents? There's 800 pages.
Oh, God.
Herb wants them.
If there are specific things that you'd like to look at, absolutely. We might be able to post them to an FTP site for you to download. We currently share them through a sort of a shared online repository that's limited to folks that have logins and stuff. We do ask for one paper set, for our office. So we would have something available in our office if you wanted to come look at
that. I think it would mostly just be interested in structural. We don't need engineering, mechanical, or electrical, anything like that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You ready for questions?
Yeah, and we're happy to provide those. We're not.
Yeah. Well,
it's,
yeah.
It's all open. It's. Yeah.
Right. Mr. Wilhelms.
Well, I just traveled 1,300 miles through Eastern Oregon talking to daily and weekly newspapers about the project.
And thank you.
It was interesting. There was no open opposition. I would say there were a couple of them that were openly supportive. The rest of them were neutral and interested, and nobody really had it on their radar screen except Klamath Falls Herald and News, which had Senator Whitsitt's newsletter in front of them, which was all right because I wanted to get to all the items on that anyway, and we did. So it was from my perspective, it was a good trip. The thing that where I did invoke your name was, remember when I called about the question I had about breaking out how much of it was for earthquake mitigation and how much it was for doing nice things to the Capitol?
Yeah.
And you said not only could you not give me dollar figures, you wouldn't give me dollar figures.
That's correct.
And you explained why, and I get it. I'm with you 100%, and I explained that to them, and I said, so don't be looking for dollar figures. But I did invoke your name when you said you would get me percentages.
Okay.
And I said, I will email you the percentages because I don't have them now.
And, all right, so that's on my to-do list.
So that I need to get back to the papers that I saw last week with that information.
Okay.
But they're very interested. Another question that came up, and I kind of winged it, but I think I recall what we had in our discussion during the Capitol Master Plan Review Committee that dealt with delays, not killing the project, but delaying the project. And I explained that we produced a timeline and that we have already moved past the first year of the timeline, so we've already suffered a one-year delay because the Capitol Master Plan Review Committee's recommendation for where we would move to accommodate the functions of the Capitol building, that did not happen. We did not build the office building on the mall. Thus, that didn't happen, so it put us a year behind. And that if you're talking about a delay from now until the 2016 short session to make the decision, which I believe can be done, because I believe we've got another pile of bonding authority that's available in 16 versus now. I said that can be done, but we're not advocating for that. As a matter of fact, we're advocating strongly against that. We want to do it now, because if you start delaying this project, the 337 becomes at risk, and we don't want to have to face an upward turn in the cost, in the budget figure, and that's likely to occur because building material costs have continued to inflate, and bond rates are damn sure going to start going up one of these days. Yep. So this project cost is not going down. So I just want to verify that I'm on track with what I'm saying, because I'm going to go out next week and hit the coast and the lower valley, and I'm going to get the same questions. And I know there's a couple of legislators that are advocating not killing the project but delaying it. And I don't, you know, and we're telling them, no, we don't support that. I mean, you got the right as a legislator to bring it up. But
in other words, buying time is expensive.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but we don't support it. We want to, you know, this project's going forward. We spent $30 million bucks on the design phase, and we want to continue this project as scheduled. We can do,
oh, God, yeah.
The 168 fits nicely into the stack of bonding programs that we have. It works. We want to continue moving that forward, recognizing that some of the folks here in the building are playing some games politically back and forth, and that's okay. We get that. But we're advocating to move it forward. And beyond the delay question and the percentage breakout, the other questions are questions that are just pretty normal and pretty easy to deal with, because we've got it pretty much in our little handout piece. You know, the answers. The question of, there is one question, of course, and you got to be a little careful how you deal with it, but we had the editorial here in the Statesman Journal that proposed that we raise $100 million of it through private donations.
Oh, yeah.
My reaction to that is, it's a great idea, but how long is it going to take to get the $100 million? And you look at the 337, and every year you delay, you know, we get back into this discussion of the cost increasing and becoming a tougher sell as the price goes up. And we're not going to be raising $100 million in private donations overnight.
But then we could name it the Nike State Capitol.
Well, if you think Phil Knight's going to give you $100 million bucks to do that over $100 million for a new stadium, you know, for the World Track Meet that's coming up, I don't think so. But in any event, the questions are good. The relationship, I was impressed. I was encouraged by the positive attitude, or the kind attitude at least, of the media. I won't say they were all positive, jumping right on this. You know, we had also had questions like, well, I'm in Ontario, Oregon. What the hell do I care about, what's going on over in the valley? And, you know, and then they answered their own question like, we get it. We know it's the state's building, and we should care about that. But we don't very often get a lot of.
Well, the Idaho Capitol's already been renovated.
Yeah. So anyway, it was good-natured. The questions were good. I think the contact was good. I have no idea what they're going to write. They ought to start showing up. There's some of them that are going to write some of them that probably won't. But I talked to papers in Pendleton, LeGrand, Baker City, Ontario, Vail, Burns, Klamath Falls, Bend, the Dalles, and Hood River.
Thank you. Good for you.
Wow. That's a huge tour.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's I've got nothing to report. You can take your report out of what they write in the press. So we'll see how good.
Again, questions for Marina. Herb.
Okay. Well, are we also using the fact that beyond delaying is more expensive? We're already past due for an earthquake.
Yeah.
People.
Oh yeah.
If we delay, you may not have a capital to rebuild.
Well, they could legislate in a parking lot, don't you know?
I have a question though.
I've heard that.
Yeah, we've heard that. Yes, Herb.
In building 550, is there any area that's going to be public, like the Galleria area that we have out here, that we could put possibly displays in? Any room at all for something like that?
That's
small displays.
We're exploring the concept of something with parks.
I understand that, but
Is there room?
Let's talk about it. I mean, I think we can talk about.
So if the displays are similar to the ones that are up in the Galleria right now, the small round displays, there may be some opportunities where after we build out, we can look at it and see where those fit in.
Okay.
But there's not a large Galleria type area to put a lot. They might not be all in the same place. So you might have one in one place. But, you know, we looked at that to see where. I just saw the first drawing the other day that had really all of the, not just the member offices, but the staff in the house. And if you see that floor drawn out the way the architects have it now, you will really think that they have in the house luxury accommodations right now, as much as they complain about how small it is. So there will be small opportunities probably for some kinds of displays, and we may have to say that they might be different from what we had been planning up to now. But I think the current three movable displays that are out there, I could foresee ways to easily fit them in somewhere.
Okay. What kind of public space is envisioned, if any, in 550? So,
well, I think
like
that's
school children, classes, et cetera.
School children, classes. We definitely are not putting aside a public space for school children, classes. Where I think it's important to understand that the way 550 is going to work. Some of the biggest public gathering areas will actually be outdoors. So we're very, very tight space-wise. We don't have a lot of areas for large gatherings.
What about just the chambers there's not separate chambers for the Senate and the House. They just meet sequentially or?
No, they have
separate chambers.
They have separate
chambers.
But no galleries?
You know, it might be helpful if I provided you with floor plans for
the 550?
Yeah,
that would help.
Would you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It'd be lovely.
We have PDFs. I'll send them to you, and you can distribute. Okay. Why don't I do that?
Or Kevin can bring them to the meeting.
I can bring them to the next one.
Yeah.
The full meeting where there'll be more interest.
Yeah.
One of the things that we have to work on once the project is approved is we have to kind of start an education piece for people who are used to coming to the Capitol, because so many people who are used to the Capitol operating a certain way, whether they're in the Capitol on a regular basis or they come for their one lobby day per year, it's going to be different and we're going to operate different. The entire Galleria area, because there is a little Galleria area still, will be big enough for maybe 20 or 30 people. So. And then there'll be some hallways there. So it's going to be, I mean, everything is tight regardless of where you are, but we're going to have to find polite ways to say, certainly come in, we're open, visit, do the business that you want to do, and then get out because we don't have space for you to stick around.
And has Mr. Doherty figured out where the Capitol Club would go?
I have not heard from him where they're going. We spoke some time ago, and I know that they were working on it, but I haven't heard a final about where they would be going.
Ms. East.
And to both of Marina and Kevin, it seems to me we have some opportunities to think about potential remote viewing sites. I don't know if we can rent a room in a building across the street or
State
take
Library.
Over another corner of another parking lot. But I think, seriously, we need to have some sort of an RV or something sitting out there in the mall where people can have information about what's going on in front of them as they're looking at this building. And also maybe some places somewhere where people that are overflow can sit the way we have remote access to hearings now or remote access all over anywhere on a TV terminal for people to see what's going on. And I think we may have to do something like that.
We have that built into the plan. So when I bring the drawings, I'll kind of show you how we're thinking operationally right now for people to view the chambers and everything. So we're working on that. It's not an alternate location. It's using the building to our maximum extent possible, like using the during floor sessions, the hearing rooms will be basically gallery space because there are about 20, I think, seating for 20 or so in each chamber. There is chamber seating for people to be in and observe live, but it's limited to about 20 people.
Right.
So the it will mean we'll have TVs in most of the hearing rooms, and we'll say, okay, the house will be viewed in hearing rooms A, B, and C, and you can go in and do that. So we're working on those kinds of things, and we'll really, and that's why I said we'll really be pushing, you know, everything will still be on the internet, everything will still be broadcast, you know, live over the closed circuit television system. So those options for state employees will at least exist, and then for everybody else, you know, you can watch from your phone in your car if you have to, as long as you have the right data plan.
Thank you.
Hang on. Ed?
Yes.
All right, you have joined you. I just texted you to see if you had the number. Good. Ed Schobes has joined us, FYI. You know, a floor plan also of the History Center, the Heritage Center, would be interesting to also look at. It has not
new building.
Changed, I assume.
In the new building.
In the new building, yes, in the Capitol, not 550.
No.
But
no, I don't.
Okay.
I don't think there's been any changes since the last focus group.
No.
That's
anything.
Most gratifying to hear. We are looking forward to
the
that.
The full foundation on the 17th might like to see that, because I don't know that they've all.
Right.
So that, yeah.
Right. What they can anticipate. Again, I do not think that we will have our legislative members able to join us on the 17th. But I will still ask that presentation be in the noon hour so that if they can join us for lunch, at least they'll have that opportunity.
That's fine.
Good. Okay. Well, I think I appreciate it. I think Jane and I have been brought the group up to speed, Kevin, on our discussion this morning, and that decisions are pending. And they may adjust our budget figures. Otherwise, you're both welcome to stay or go. We appreciate all you do for us.
You can escape.
And we certainly certainly appreciate all the work Nick has done for us on the budget.
Would you allow me just a minute to go off topic and just talk about legislative administration and the foundation for a minute?
Sure.
Thank you.
One thing that you know, I see, I'm assuming Judy brought these down to show the work that Julene and Visitor Services have been doing for the Saturday weekend openings has been phenomenal. We've had some of our best sales days in the gift store because of those particular Saturdays. We've had much better turnout on the weekends for those, and they have some great plans for the remainder of the year, including July 11th, which is the best day of the year for anybody who wants to know. They're going to have chamber music across the street that will be open that Saturday, but they'll have part of the Salem Symphony performing, you know, which is this one right here. And the reason July 11th is the best, and they did that, is that is my birthday, so little music on my birthday. Veterans Day, they're working hard to put together something, because I've always thought it odd that we don't do something better here at the Capitol for Veterans Day. So I know that's another one that they're really working on. So if you have not stopped by and said hi to Julene or her folks and said thanks, they are really, Marnie has worked out wonderfully up there as far as getting out and publicizing making things more readily available to other partners and with the public, and garnering partnership, because almost everything they've done, except for some small cash flow from the foundation, they've done a lot with no additional budget. So I'm impressed every day by what they do there.
Well, and we're augmenting our budget. We're looking forward to expanded partnership and more Saturday openings for the Capitol. It's certainly a dream of ours that
It's been well-received so far, so we're really happy with the program.
It's really what rare, it's when the families can come, I think, and that's so important.
They do come.
And they do, yeah. No, it's so important. I wish we could be open every Saturday, but.
Someday. That would be my goal. I want to get there. I just didn't want to try to do it all at once.
And we appreciate all that Jolene and Marnie and Laura and all do, and
yes,
the volunteers. And we are working hard to recognize them. Our next newsletter, in fact, the feature story will be on the long-term volunteers, the 20 and 30-year persons
much.
Who have devoted really half their lives to this building and the public's use of it. Gary?
Another thing that came up on the road was the fact that the Capitol building used to be the number one tourist attraction in Oregon. And I believe, and I've stated this, that's why hopefully it's the truth, that it's now number two behind Spirit Mountain Casino. Does the legislative administration have any idea where we line up in whether or not it's number two, three, five, one, whatever?
The last...
The
Woodburn Outlet Mall.
Tourist attraction.
Well, as far as a tourist destination.
I got it. Okay, I can believe that's...
That's why I was kind of saying number three.
Is that really the truth? It's Spirit Mountain, Woodburn Outlet Mall, and then the Capitol? Well, that's even funnier.
Any place that provides buses. They bus them in.
They come from all over for
them. We did just get in the mail from TripAdvisor.com a certificate of recognition or a certificate of excellence because we rank 4 out of 5 stars on their rating system for people who provide feedback, unsolicited feedback on the internet for what that's worth. But we have had about 135 reviews. 4 out of 5 stars, and we are the number 4 destination for TripAdvisor for what to do when you're in Salem.
Huh.
So that kind of
Salem?
In Salem, the carousel was number 1.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, but we were ahead of most of the other historical. The mill was down at about was down below us. That I can't remember what 2 and 3 were, but the carousel was number 1 when I looked it up online the other day. But it was still, we had more reviews than some of those that had a higher ranking. So like I said, take it for what it's worth. It is another good sign that we're getting some name recognition out there and people are actually responding online and posting information, because a lot of younger people use TripAdvisor to figure out what to do when they go somewhere. So if we're in the top 5, that's a good thing. So we've got room to go up.
I don't think that's our phone that's ringing. That's either Ed's or Sharon's. Jerry.
I just want to say, in all my many years in this Capitol building, I am so appreciative of what's going on around here now. The activity, and it's not just activity to our own ilk, it's to the public, and it's exciting, and it's being well attended, and I just say a big, huge thank you.
Thank you.
And Marina, I'll email me the percentage numbers?
It's on my list.
All right.
Got it.
Okay.
It's number 1 on the list.
Anything
thank
else?
Thank you so much, Marina.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Thompson.
Can we get through this?
Yes, please. Would you please?
Where'd you leave off, Nick?
Okay, I think we're just about to start the 2015-16 new projects.
Phase 2. Okay.
So as I said
page 4,
yes. As I said before, this group of projects are projects that have been approved and are new, that are starting in this next fiscal year. So I don't know if I'm not intimately familiar with these projects. Jolene would be more appropriate for those, but the one thing I do want to go over, you'll see certain line items in italics. These are projects that, would be expended or would begin if the project does not get approved. If the Oscar project does get approved, those expenses would be put on hold. So we've budgeted worst case scenario, the project does not get approved, and we have to spend that money, or we will spend that money.
Now, let me make a qualifying comment on that, because Jolene and I had a conversation last week that some of these we want to have operational when we move back in, like the new educational materials or the school right. children's stuff. And so we want to make sure that we provide ourselves enough time to get them up and running and get them developed and get them refined and ready to roll when we move back in. And so I wouldn't say that that's a one or the other as far as whether Oscar gets funded or not. Some RFPing or, you know, development needs to happen in this fiscal year.
Yeah.
It might.
We've tried to account for those, but there are some that we could do a little bit of work even right. if the project gets approved. We can right. we can do the planning and we can do a little bit of the prep work to get it ready
right.
for when we come back.
And okay. Julene is very much keyed into that.
Yes. So there is a total of $280,000 in approved budgeted new projects for next fiscal year. The next section is diversity events. These are three events have been identified as diversity type events that are in line with the History Gateway's mission. There's a budgeted $3,000 for each event. Julene has more details. I don't know specifically what they are, but I assume she's gone over them with.
Well, and Judy, well, she's gone over it with the special events committee. Yeah.
And these are not foundation events. These
right.
are
right.
specific to the History Gateway.
Right, 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 right.
The next section is projects phase one carryover. These right. are projects that were either previously approved and not started, or projects previously approved and started, but there is remaining expenses. They're still underway. You'll see that the italics are those projects that are contingent upon whether the Oscar project gets approved or not, which in these are two projects. One of them, the Welcome Center design, we could likely begin while the Oscar project's going on. The other one, the Welcome Center build out, we obviously wouldn't be able to start that at all until we get back into the building. But you'll notice some of those in this section have been have expenses. So some of them have been started. They're currently underway. most of them, I believe, are anticipated to be finished in the next fiscal year. Some of them have been previously approved, but have not begun. They have not incurred any expenses. And that's where you'll see, as I was mentioning before, a lot of those projects that have been planned, have been budgeted for, but have not been executed. And this is where that buildup is coming in. It's all of these projects that have been budgeted for, planned, approved, and now we're actually getting to the execution phase. So for that carryover, you're looking at about $513,000. So that is budget amount for those projects for next fiscal year. And remember, that's the budget amount. It doesn't mean that we're actually going to spend every last penny of that. I think we would like to, but in all likelihood, we probably won't spend all. So your subtotal History Gateway expenses for next fiscal year are about $891,000. Remember, this is mostly project-based. A lot of these costs are
one-time only.
Major one-time startup costs. If you're looking 5, 10, 15 years down the road, you want to continue to be dynamic and have these new projects and new programs to align with what your mission is down the road, but a lot of where your expenses are going to be at that time are going to look different. It's going to be maintaining those programs, maintaining those exhibits. So it'll be a different budget then.
Mr. Wilhelms, did you have?
Well, I think this is probably as good a place to bring it up as any, but it's not just a gateway question. And I don't want to get too overly optimistic and enthusiastic about Oscar getting approval, but I'm going to make the assumption that it is going to be approved. Mm-hmm. Therefore, throughout the project, and especially at the end of the project, and I'm going to assume on Oregon's birthday in 2020, we're going to have a big deal around here when we open this baby back up and come back in. There's going to be a big celebration. But along the way, there are going to be opportunities, and if there are not opportunities, we need to create opportunities to publicize this thing and in a positive light as we move forward. Now, some of it's history gateway, yeah, and some of it's just general capital business. Is there enough room in this budget to handle that? And if there's not, or we don't know, should we plug an item in on an annual basis for publicity, public relations, call it what you want, but a matter that's related specifically to promotion of the new building and the new facilities and the new gateway and all of the nice things that we're doing?
Sure.
Yes, Herb.
I think that goes up to the phase two, the gallery exhibit. If we were to remain in the building, that would be window cases. If we're not going to be in the building, that's $60,000 that we have for displays elsewhere that could be aimed at what we're doing here in the building.
And we wouldn't be locked in because of this budget document. We would have the flexibility.
No, not at all.
No, it's just a matter of making
We've got a, and we're not, we've been asked to hold off on any more. Jolene in particular has been told to not pursue conversations with parks or others about where we would move any exhibits until we have some better idea that Oscar is a go-ahead.
Right.
Just because of the climate in the building.
Sure.
But we anticipate Oscar being successfully funded and proceeding, and that we would have exhibits very in close proximity to the construction site that would include, and Jane Kennedy made reference to an RV. We're thinking maybe more of a temporary building of some sort, the like, that maybe parks could participate with us because we got to get their permission anyway. And that we could use the contractor's wherewithal as well as far as updating this, what's going on across the street or down the block, as far as the building goes, and that would be a major site for education and information for visitors and promoting the project and the capital and the gateway.
Well, it's this. We are.
Yes, I know.
We are. I think, and I hope that this is true. We are videotaping, or are prepared to videotape this whole project as we move forward. I know I've had conversations with.
And I have too, but I don't think the foundation is.
That should be media. Media should be doing that.
They should be, but I'm just saying that maybe we ought to be.
No, they should.
Going in. Prodding a little bit.
I haven't even looked at the. I bought the video that Utah sold of theirs, and I haven't even opened
that. And that's what I'm thinking about. They did a great job of telling the story after it was over.
Made a beautiful book too.
Yep, and you know, we ought to be thinking about that. Sure. And if it's us, our organization that needs to be doing that, okay.
But let's
frankly, it ought to probably be part of the project.
Let's pursue that conversation.
I definitely think the conversation should be pursued. Maybe it should be our events committee working with Jolene and her folks and laying out just at least a skeleton of a plan.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of validity to it.
Right. And in part, that's something I would assign a communications committee.
That's yes.
Just what I
would
was
agree.
Say.
Mm-hmm.
But events would be happy to help.
Dane.
It seems to me
Dane
that
Kate,
any
sure.
contractor who's going to be doing this work should be
right.
It seems to me that any contractor who's going to be doing this work needs to be talked to about making a record for themselves as well as working together with us to make a record of it. Because I can see a fun exhibit afterwards of you know, in stages tearing it down and then putting it back up or whatever.
Right. Jerry.
It behooves a contractor to be involved in
you bet.
Right, absolutely, of course.
And I hope that Kevin's folks are working with them on that concept.
We've talked about it a lot.
We have, from the get-go.
I've just never heard that anybody's grabbed it.
We got to nail it down.
Yep.
Okay, keep going, because the...
We're almost done.
We're almost done. And we've got committee reports.
So...
And a meeting here of the governance committee at 1:00.
Total operating and history gateway expenses budgeted for the next fiscal year are $1.243 million. You turn to page 5.
Well, but you have to take out.
Hang on.
It depends. Just,
yeah.
If you turn to page 5, if you look at money earned and money spent in the next fiscal year, it is a deficit of $735,000. Like I said before, just because it's budgeted doesn't mean that it will actually all get spent in that year. It just provides staff the authority to execute those projects. When we look at the next line item, planned use of funds received in previous years, that is nonprofit lingo for what are we doing with all the extra money that we have just sitting in the bank that wasn't earned in this next fiscal year. That's okay. Just there. In operating, we have $125,000 sitting in there. History Gateway, we have $889,000. And then the Governor's Maintenance Fund, which is the state treasury.
No, no. That's in our general funds. That was never deposited in treasury.
Well,
it's just we made a commitment that we would seed any startup for a new portrait.
Okay.
And use this money that's been given for previous portraits. But again, as Jane said earlier, we made it clear that it's for other purposes, not just the Kulongowski portrait. It's for helping to restore the Greer portrait, et cetera, Greer. Sorry, Jerry.
My information is that we got $14,000 sitting in the state treasury fund.
Right.
What that's for, I don't think matters, but that we can move that over to us in September.
Yes.
We must do that.
Well, yes. Yeah. No, Kevin and I are talking about who does it and how to do that.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to clarify
right,
what. We're
right.
Doing.
Right. Yeah. It won't stay. Can't stay in treasury.
No.
Yeah.
So when you factor in the carryover, our total restricted and unrestricted carry forward at the end of next fiscal year is just under $300,000. If you look at just unrestricted carry forward, it's a little bit more, but still just under $300,000.
Now, if we spend what we've got in the bank to cover the $700,000+, that's what's left over.
Correct.
Okay. But you need to subtract from the other what we may not need if we move.
Right. If
right. So add right. 5,000. Yeah. 250 yeah. grand back into that.
I'm just saying right. We're really in the black, even though your budget proposes.
Right. And that's an important, this yeah. is last page is important to understand. And
right.
Yeah.
Even if the project, Oscar project does not move forward, the money, if the Oscar project does move forward and we don't expend those certain funds, we're still in the red.
Well, for the fiscal year.
Yes. That savings doesn't cover the deficit.
Right.
It's not enough to make up
it's
that.
It's the postponed projects for phase one and the new projects phase two that bite into the the money that we have in the bank now from Pacific Wonderland. Yeah. Again, Jerry and Nick will be with the committee's participation, budget committee's participation, coming up with a 10-year sort of estimated flow of funds. So that we have a better shot, you know, how this works when we get past all these first time, one time only projects for the Gateway.
So I think a good way to think about it is the proposed or budgeted expenditures for the History Gateway as of including next fiscal year are already paid for. We have that money sitting in the bank account. Now we're just actually spending it. So
trying to.
From here on out, it's, I guess, what you could think of as extra money for the Gateway for any extra projects beyond what's already budgeted for. Okay. Those expenses are covered.
Okay, I want to thank Jerry and Nick in particular and all the help they've gotten from Jolene and Sharon and others to get this far. And it's been a good, healthy, lengthy discussion that I hope that we've asked enough questions, they've been answered well enough, that the budget presentation on the 17th and its adoption will be much more succinct and less worrisome to any of us. Knowing, as we now do, as members of the executive committee, what's gone into it and what these changes imply as far as whether Oscar is funded or not, whether phase two gets undertaken or not of Gateway, et cetera. And then Jane will have better figures for personnel and professional services contracts soon. Herb, the one thing was on oral history. Did we want
25,000?
And don't you think that gets us through with our 13,000?
It gets halfway through, probably.
It gets us five.
No, the 25 should get us almost 10. For 13,000, we're going to get five.
Right.
And so we're hoping for a price break in the future.
Okay.
So I'm hoping to get 10 for the
10 more. So 15
10 total,
total
for 25.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I'm just roughly thinking this. That I want you to think about the contract we're entering into with I'd that like, vendor. Well,
I'd like to keep at least that 50,000 that we have in there.
50,000. It is 50?
Yeah. 50. Yeah, yeah. There's 50
oh,
in
there. Thank you.
Yeah, we've got
okay.
50 in there.
I was going back to 25.
That's what
so. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
never mind.
You, so.
Who's good, good.
Contractor.
Her name's Janice Dill. It's called History Oregon Project.
History Built.
History Built.
This is her
Jen
rough resume.
Dill, some of us.
She's done work for the District Court, Oregon Historical Society, Oregon State University Sesquicentennial Oral History Project, and Dawson Park Improvement Project, whatever that was. But she was impressive. She came to us with a range of options of what she could do for us, and we're kind of going with the mid-range proposal that she's giving us, which is herself plus a videographer, so we think we can get a better quality production from that than we could with just the single videographer historian that was the other proposal.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I have some experience of knowing her work when she was working with the Historical Society on the 100th anniversary of women suffrage in Oregon. And she did a spectacular job at the things that I observed.
She's got great composure and
good. Yeah.
And I think she'll interact well with our interviewees. So Herb's got in fact, let's move into. I don't think we have much of an audit update.
It's coming. That's all you got.
That's right. It's in the works. Jerry?
Before you close out the budget discussion,
yes,
can
ma'am.
I just remind, what we'd like today is approval of what we have put before you with the changes and contingent upon anything that might have come out of the budget committee. But before we do that, I want to remind the executive committee that Tony and I and the budget committee will be working on our investments. We're concerned about money sitting and not being invested correctly. I just heads up, we have 83,000 approximately with Fidelity. We got 15,000 with Dodge & Cox and 14,000 sitting in the state treasury. That's the money we'll be looking at. We will probably be recommending that we move that invested money to one entity that's highly trustworthy and will manage the money for us, allow the 25,000 endowment fund or the endowment fund to sit with the Oregon Cultural Trust and continue our banking with the Cascades.
that'll all come to you in a formal
investment policy.
Yes, but I just wanted to give you all heads up as we think about deficits and all the other.
Right, Herb.
I want to make sure I got the directions from the chair correctly when someone passed something quickly.
All right.
The other day you asked me about the signage on the donor board. You wanted me to go ahead with that. Could I get just authorization for less than $1,000 to get those
absolutely
letters?
I think it's
there.
In the budget already. Yeah.
It's already
is it in there?
In our current budget.
Okay.
Yeah, just obligate it in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fast. Do it quick.
Yeah. And that's not contingent on Oscar or not. We need the headings on the board.
Capital Foundation,
right, and Capital Gateway.
Or we say Capital
right.
Gateway.
Yeah. Okay.
Were you making a motion, Jerry?
I wasn't sure that we needed to take action on it as an executive committee since I think we approve. I think there's unanimous approval of it. We recommend your report to the full membership on the 17th with the refinements that you will undertake in the next week.
Okay. And thank you all for your endurance.
No, and yours.
Another budget item yesterday or Thursday. Did we use up all the coins? Are we close?
No, we still have some.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think we had another box, but.
Oh.
All right.
Talking about the beaver coins.
Yeah, do we want to?
Yeah, because I think Nick had said that we still had some in reserve, but we possibly need to get some more. He was going to go get, because soon after that we ended.
Okay.
And we may replace the coins with something else.
Okay. So,
because I think that was through the Oregon Bankers Association, and that may not be available still.
Okay. Find some other deep pockets.
They were fun.
Oh, okay. Wasn't it? I'm pretty sure. I think that was the Bronner. Okay. Committee updates. Communications Committee, Ed? I think we might have lost Ed.
Okay.
There has not been much.
I'm here, guys.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Communications Committee, we see that there's work being done on newsletters, and the constant contact stuff is going out. I haven't been really tied into that very much because I've been super busy at work. It looks like my work schedule may be slowing down some after the end of this month.
No.
A Statesman Journal did an article.
Well, that's Gary's probably.
Oh,
that was with Peter
Wong.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, they did, and Peter.
That was from Gary and Fred talking to the.
But they were supposed to release that to the Tribune was supposed to be doing all of their papers last. Would have been a week ago Thursday.
It did.
It's a May 20th.
Do you know about any of the satellite papers? Because he's got 24.
I just saw it online.
Well, I have a question for Ed or whoever might know the answer. You know, it used to be in the old days we used to have clipping services that would that would do the job for us. And today I know there's a lot more sophisticated ways to find out when something is printed. But I don't know what they are. But I would really like to be able to track where we're getting any publicity, and I guess I don't know how anymore. And so is there a way that you can do that? Can you search online easily?
He's ready to answer that.
Okay.
Ed.
Can you do that? I would love you forever.
Yay.
That would be great.
Great.
Thanks.
Yeah. Perfect. Because some of these are going to be news articles, some of them are going to be editorials. And I don't know which or which.
It's not, you know, it's not perfect, but it's better than nothing. And
yeah.
Otherwise, you should have been asked to subscribe to immediate service, and I don't know if the, you know, legislative office has that. Nick, can you tell us one way or the other?
Hang on, he's got to get over to a microphone. He's trying, you missed out that he's multitasking today, and he's taking the recording as well as. Go ahead. He's here.
Can you ask the question again? I didn't catch all of it.
Does your office, Nick, subscribe to a media clipping service?
No.
The library doesn't do it anymore?
The
media people?
They used to.
I get
the legislative
by media clipping. Do you mean like, because I get like a e-subscribe from the library?
Right.
That's just a roundup of
everything.
Right.
That day's news.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Sorry. Yes. I do get that.
But it's everything.
No, the legs or the state library. The state library. Okay.
State library. State library.
Right. But it's everything, Gary. Not
it's
just
not just a.
So you can't break it out.
No. Right.
No.
No.
It's not that specific. I've been doing what I can to keep track of media coverage of the capital renovation project as we hear things, as we see articles coming
out. And La Casala is no longer with the project, is that correct?
Oh, is that right?
Jennifer?
Oh, I don't know.
She is on a part-time
Jessica.
Basis working from home. She found a new job but agreed to continue with us on a part-time basis.
My experience with what Nick's talking about is it's extensive. It's all the coverage about state government. It's not a priority in your day if you're busy.
Google searches.
It's too much information.
You let Ed do the Google.
The Google search makes the most sense.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, Vinny. Yeah. So I'll create, I'll figure out the best search terms.
Yeah, I'm going to give you.
That's great.
Well, to start out with, I would suggest Oregon State Capital Foundation and the Oregon State Capital Renovation Project being two terms to plug in there.
Right.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. We'll also have to use
chain of words.
Initial, like OSDF and stuff like that as well, too. Because we'll want to know what the reach of our own communication is.
Oh, good. Okay.
Good.
That's fine.
Okay with me.
Good.
Thanks, Ed.
All right. And to just close on a communications committee, I still have not heard back from Julie Brim Edwards, and because I want to assign her to that committee. I may have been with the Obama visit or what all, and the trade agreement that she's otherwise occupied. But I hope that she'll be able to join us in June, and I hope she'll be able to support Ed on that committee.
There's just one other thing, Brett, that I wanted to touch base
please, with, Ed.
With folks about, and that is constant contact authoring, because I know that we've had Nick sent an email, I believe, to someone that asked for help on designing and posting
We're using Fatima through a subcontract of Sharon's team to design and post those for us. Ed, Nick, do you have? And Sharon, do you? How are we?
Ed, we've just taken on the monthly email alert.
Okay.
My team has.
So right.
We have all that under control.
Right, and then the
a logo.
You and so.
The
right. The issue came up Ed, because of our urgency to get the word out on the renovation project misinformation that was out there, and we wanted to make sure that our readers heard that, and Constant Contact was the vehicle for doing that. And so it...
Yeah, I get that, but I'm just, my concern is that, you know, relying on one person is not always that.
Good.
I'm hopeful, Brad, that after the end of the month, I'll be able to help with that. So, I need to get trained and become more familiar with that. I know what it's like and how to as far as creating the posts themselves, I need to.
That's great, Ed.
So, Ed, the key is we can the login information for our account.
Great. Okay. Just FYI, Joan has postponed the governance committee until the adjournment of the executive committee meeting.
The only person that's calling in, to my knowledge, is Norm. I've talked to him, and so I'm going to have him call in as soon as we're done.
Okay. Great.
And one more thing on communications. There were some newsletter assignments. They're due on June 8th, as I recall. So anybody who got a newsletter assignment, please do it. Does Gary have it? I don't know who had them. I don't have a copy of it with me, but
yeah, it's out there.
Who'd it come from?
Sharon.
It came from I sent it out.
Okay.
This is Sharon.
Okay,
Herb,
so
Herb has
you
one.
Will follow up. Okay, so you're on June 9th. If you don't have your articles, 8th. You'll be making contact with people, right?
Right.
Either that or we won't put it in.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to be
right.
Okay. About
all right.
And I'll talk to you about your role in it later, Joan. I was trying to find that. But if you didn't get the email, you're not assigned a story. Let's put it that way.
Well, I got the email, right? But I didn't see assignment.
I didn't see the assignment.
I didn't get the email, and I'm worried that I'm assigned to it.
You probably
are. Right?
Well, okay. Send it, so everybody's looking for it. So.
Very good. And you got my response, Sharon? Yes. Okay. Development. Ginny's not here, and we're trying to keep Sharon from busting a tear duct or two. And so, bless you. I'm trusting you're taking your 10-minute breaks here and taking care of that. Just basically to report that we rolled out the endowment program and we're getting wonderful responses. All of us that on the development committee have taken on assignments to contact, and they haven't all been made, much as the contacts haven't been made on the Oscar project yet with legislators, but we're all working on it, and I hear daily from people that they're making appointments or making calls, and I'm signing almost daily letters of gratitude for people who have pledged for the endowment plan. So basically we are at
13,500.
Exactly.
Wow.
Ooh. That's pledged or in.
I think that's in and pledge, isn't that?
Both.
Yeah. Yikes.
Wow, great.
So lovely. And then, of course, all of our other projects in place, including we've heard through the budget discussion about the grant applications. And Jenny's working hard with Sharon on those. And Shane is helping us with the Community Foundation, et cetera, getting the right people to contact. Since July 1 of last year, through the annual campaign, and that was end of calendar year, and the donations, and with the, including the 13.5 from the endowment campaign, the Hello Again Party, the corporate sponsorship of events, the Governor Atiyah Memorial contributions, which Cherry can be credited greatly with, and then other unrestricted donations that come in, which are not unsubstantial. We've raised to date nearly $120,000.
Really? Not to sneeze at.
Wow. Right. Also, that's from 465 different donations, which I think is really significant. Some of them are duplicates, you know, from the right.
Well, yeah, I feel that pain. okay. Special events.
Okay, I will be very brief. The latest event that we had was a Heritage Fair. Went really well. Thanks.
It was fun.
Thanks to the lovely volunteers. You guys are always so great. You volunteer for each one of those, and I love that. And you're so interactive.
They were having an awful lot of fun.
We were all playing instead of
this
working.
This whole group. It was fun. Yeah. And so that went really, really well. And we did give out a lot of beaver coins. And
they had to earn them.
Can I interrupt this for a second? This is my lender.
All right, history, Herb. But we've already talked about the oral history.
The contract should be in the process of being let right now, so we hope to be starting those by the 1st of July. I've sent a message to the history committee. At the full foundation meeting, we already have a list of 45, but we're gonna give an opportunity for everybody to come up with a name that they may know of somebody that really needs to be at the top of that list.
Can we all have a copy of the list?
Are you on Dropbox?
It's on Dropbox, right?
Okay. Can you have access to Dropbox? Okay. It's there. It's okay. Once you're in Dropbox, the file is called Oral History, and there's an Excel spreadsheet there with all the names and their condition.
It's important to get the ones moved up that needs to be moved up.
That's why we're looking for that input, and then after the meeting, the history committee will prioritize that and come up with what we think of the top five and get those on the contract.
Good.
Okay. Good.
It's in Dropbox, you say.
No, just call me back.
And please don't amend the spreadsheet once you look at it.
Send a separate email.
Send a separate email to Herb and
or
Nick.
Or just bring with you the foundation.
No, I'm going to revise this.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to have some kind of control over those documents just so that we don't. It's sort of like Wikipedia or something. Too many editors. Okay. Good.
Okay.
Judy.
Okay. To finish
this.
Herb,
you're done.
Yes, I am moving to Tigard. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hopefully any day now. Okay, so sponsorship with the Capitol events has been really successful, and this,
amen.
All the credit goes to Julene and Marnie and her team. Mm, it's just, it's been so wonderful. And I just wanted to give you a few dates, put on your calendars. June 19th is something that the Capitol is just participating in. It's Volkswalking, Volkswagen.
Yep.
And the Capitol's going to be open. They're going to be cooperative in this effort, so they're going to be open for tours. But I think the people are just going to be walking through or by or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to go up the stairs to the Capitol?
I bet they do, yeah.
And so Kevin stole my thunder. I put those out there so I could tell you all. And it is. It's going to be a great event. And I asked why it's being scheduled at 10 o'clock in the morning. And the answer to that is that, number one, July tends to be pretty warm, so afternoon be too warm. And the Saturday market, they want to tie into that and gather
good.
The people from that, which I think is a great idea.
Right.
It's really going to work well.
Judy, so this is done. So there's no opportunity for sponsorships for this event?
Well, I'd have to check with Julene on that, because it isn't until July 11th.
But this is done.
As far as our sponsorship. Are you talking about some other sponsors?
Well, yeah, because I still need to get in touch with Walmart, and they were looking for additional opportunities, and I was going to send the sponsorship document out, but I need to. Sharon, maybe you can answer that question. The chamber, we added the chamber music thing to our sponsorship list, but it's too late to be a sponsor now, isn't it?
why.
Well, I would guess, I mean, you know, meaning the poster's already done. So.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And that's kind of, oh, go ahead.
What I would say was just a reason for next year.
Right. I would check in with Julene to make sure. I believe she did mention to me that these are drafts.
Okay. Well, it is a draft because she said it might be too busy. So I think they may be looking at that. But if, to add another sponsor might continue.
Ooh.
To.
Not if they get me $2,500.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Well,
cut down that.
All right, let's read. We'll defer to.
Oh, the bargain.
Okay.
You'll talk to Julene, Joan.
Yes.
Okay, Judy, one of you. Okay.
Right there.
All
other dates, please.
September 26th, this is Hispanic Heritage, and it's supposed to be a super big deal. That is
right.
Not something we are sponsoring with them, co-sponsoring. October 17th is Bounty of Oregon. Department of Agriculture is going to be the sponsor. November 10th is the afternoon concert for veterans. It says cookies and tea. That's one of the things that Kevin was mentioning because he felt like the Capitol should sponsor a bigger
yes.
event. December 1st is holidays at the Capitol tree lighting.
December,
what?
December 1st.
Wow, that's early.
And that's a big
and
date.
That is a big deal.
Go ahead.
And what we want to do this year, we talked about having a Mahonia Hall event, but at the last committee meeting, we backed away from that because it might be in conflict with the actual tree lighting if we were trying to hold an event there. So we have changed that to doing something in the governor's ceremonial office and the governor's conference room, using both those rooms to do maybe a donor thank you prior to the tree lighting ceremony. So it would all be related. I've already reserved the room.
And that's on the 1st?
Yes,
not
December
the,
1st.
Does Julie know about that? Because they usually do a volunteer thank you.
Yeah,
at
yeah,
that,
yeah.
When,
yeah,
what exactly
yeah.
are we talking about?
Actually, I think it's going to be
it's
part and parcel. I mean, we will be
all
thinking.
One thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Chair.
Mrs.
When is the? Have you decided yet on the potential date for that little governor's portrait?
And
thank
Joan
you.
Has an update on that.
I'm shooting for the 26th of this month. But I got a little bit of a from some of the legislative staff because they're
yeah.
just a little bit nervous that it's the, you know, toward the
yeah.
end of the session,
yeah.
which I would like to do because there'll be activity in the building.
Right.
The portrait I found out is going in the vicinity of the Kulongoski and Kitzhaber, so it's right in
next
there.
Next one down.
And then the Meyer one is just on the other side. By the way, I talked
back
to Jane.
Back to Meyer, yeah.
Okay,
I'm
you got
fine.
That.
I talked
fine.
To
so we're
going
to try
okay.
to.
What portrait is it?
It's T.T. Gear.
Oh, yeah.
And it got,
yeah, yeah.
And it got done. So what I would like
yeah.
to do is.
And Meyer.
And the new Meyer one.
Oh. Gear and Meyer. Joan.
So what I would like to do, I, like I said, I kind of wanted to do it during the, while there was some activity in the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to have to get permission. I mean, what's the best time? Because if they're on the floor, it's, you can't be standing outside the chamber doing 5 minutes worth of speeches or whatever.
No, because you're competing with all the lobbyists out there,
too.
Yeah, but it's on the Senate side, so that's better.
Well,
still
do the speeches in the governor's office.
Well, you want them by the...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Why not at lunchtime?
Oh, that could be hinky,
anyway,
too.
So
at the,
at that late date, they could be in session
right.
during
the,
that time.
They're 24/7.
So I'm trying to figure out a time, and what we're trying to do is get the two families here at the same time. Jane,
yep.
I still need Meyer contact information.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to get it.
And then we're going to see if we can do cake in the governor's ceremonial office. Just go buy something at Safeway or make it easy. Serve cake and coffee. And if we could get Kate to run through, that would be wonderful, but, you know, not
right. And we'll just run that through that
so
special
I, so
sponsorship.
So that would mean I had to get permission
budget.
From the Secretary of the Senate to be outside the chambers, from the governor's office. So I don't know if it's going to happen by the 26th, but it just seemed better than happening in on a day when the building was dead.
Yeah.
Well, right. It may be too alive. That's the dilemma. Okay.
Thoughts on your
maybe
guys'
they'll
part?
Be gone by then.
Well, you're right.
It's a Friday.
I would just say that if you're unveiling the governor's portraits, an invitation to those, the majority, you'll be surprised what will turn out. I mean, every portrait we've unveiled, we've
yeah.
had bigger turnouts.
Oh, so you think we should go more than just the family and make it a bigger deal?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's historical.
Yeah.
Well, I've asked Joan to do an article in the newsletter too, so I don't want to run it past.
No, you haven't.
I did. At breakfast.
Now you know.
Oh, okay.
And then I replied to Sharon's email.
Okay,
I didn't see.
I missed that, sorry.
Okay.
So if we're gonna make this a bigger deal, then
you need to do it later.
Then it can't be the 25th of this or 26th.
Well, it's your decision. I'm just saying.
No, I kind of like it, Judy.
Because it all,
I like it too.
To me, it's consistent
with
history.
I think it's going to publicize the market, our organization,
right,
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's another opportunity.
And it brings the people in.
Yes.
It can't be much later, or it won't get in the newsletter.
It's not going to be in the newsletter because here's what I'm saying, Judy. Why don't we, as an event committee, maybe even after you get moved in, work on this, because I really like what Jerry's talking about.
Yeah.
Make it a
I do too.
Let's invite a whole bunch of people,
right?
Not just the families,
right?
And so we're going to need more cake.
And families will
room.
Feel good about that.
Yeah.
They'll
like absolutely.
No,
yeah.
I like that a lot.
I like it
so,
too.
All right.
So I'll give you the contact information, and you can just
inform them
talk
about
them.
What's going on. But Judy, let's work it as an event committee instead of just a little. Let's go have coffee with a couple family
yeah,
members. Yeah,
I'll put it on. I will put it on. Our next meeting is September 16th.
And
I'll
it's an
put it on that agenda.
Opportunity
oh,
for Walmart.
You
want to
wait that long?
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
yeah, give it to.
We can probably call a little meeting.
Phone meeting
before
or do
that
something.
Meeting.
Email meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that
yeah.
a lot.
Walmart can help.
I don't know that you need to put it off till September. Or
okay.
I mean,
it doesn't make any sense to do it on one of those Saturday mornings, does it, that they're talking about?
Hey,
that it's open,
really good
that
idea.
The building's
right.
open.
Could
fine.
Be a really good idea, or the Saturday, or
not
the afternoon of July
11th.
Well,
11th.
Yeah. I was just going to say, this event probably, that would be perfect.
Well,
because then
yeah.
they could go out and listen to the park.
Yeah.
Or
good. So you can do all the speechifying, because I won't be there.
Okay.
Or we could do it, I'll talk
That's
to
good.
You.
Oh,
okay.
I like that a lot.
All right, good. So governance,
done,
Joan.
Done,
I'm done.
Yes.
Okay, governance. We have about 5 policies that we believe we need to get in place for September 1st when we become the new entity. Those are the Articles of Incorporation and the bylaws being the most important ones. In addition to that, a conflict of interest policy and questionnaire we need to have in place. As well as financial policies, non-discrimination, and whistleblower. We have done the initial reviews in the governance committee of everything except the finance policy, which we will do as soon as this meeting is over. We have a meeting, Fred and I and Sharon may call in with Mr. Bill Manny at Miller Nash on Tuesday to have him go over the bylaws and timing for when things need to be adopted. We will have more. Oh, so the plan is at this point to have the full foundation approve those policies in June.
And
so
bylaws.
That we'll, those ones I mentioned, yes. So in June, so we'll be ready for September 1st. But I want to verify with Mr. Manny that that's the proper action and the proper timing. And then we will have other policies, governance policies and development policies that we will need to adopt in the future, but they don't have to happen by September 1st. Gary.
Gary.
I was just thinking, so we can blow the whistle on you and we're,
absolutely,
we're
yeah.
okay. We're not,
yeah.
no retaliation.
And I'll respond in
yeah,
kind.
Where's the guarantee there's no retaliation?
I don't know. I'm just wondering what this policy is that we're
and,
coming.
And I do, if people have questions, that was very fast. So did that make sense to
yes.
everyone?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Yeah,
okay, good,
we're
good
trying
work.
To not
yeah.
load up too much for everybody, you know, because and it is a momentous event, which we need to celebrate appropriately.
Sir,
passage of legislation and our maturation as a 501c3,
right,
or matriculation or whatever. Okay, so we're on schedule, and Joan's on schedule, and Sharon's been very helpful, and I think we've had a building committee report.
We have
pretty much. Thank you, and so I envision for the agenda. For the 17th, budget is going to be prominent, and then governance is going to be prominent. And we'll have a report from Kevin about the building.
Yeah, I'm sorry I won't be here, but
that's
they're more into the building than I am now. I'm just out.
Let's start off with
I need
your
just 5 minutes to ask people about the priority interviewees.
Okay, good, okay. good, yeah. Yeah, so that everybody's aware of that we need their, Herb needs their input on interviewees. Who's ailing fast, yes. failing fast, and
the
that
things
we need
we
to
not know about. Like yesterday, we found out something.
You're right, talking, I so, yeah. told Herb about.
About yes, Hardy, her Hardy Meyer mm-hmm. has lung
and
cancer.
And then Judy has obviously relevant
he's
information that
chemo, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy Meyer.
Yeah. And I can do that. But I can make it brief, just like I did today.
Right. And development.
Smoking nonstop for
years. Well, yeah, that's true. And Tinny's gonna. All right. I think we have an agenda started. Nick nods his head in acknowledgement. I don't know that we'll get any legislators there. So any contact we have with individually with our members to make sure that I might not be able to talk to all six of them. Gary's meeting with one of them yet this afternoon. Extend again the invitation to be here for lunch on the 17th, and that if they have any questions, want to be right up to speed on any of our activities or plans, that any of us are happy to converse with them on those, since now that all of us present are fully up to speed on everything that is happening with the Oregon State Capital Foundation and the fund, and soon we won't have to say that twice. Gary, you're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Anything else for the good of the order for the executive committee? If not, we're adjourned. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Sharon.
I have Hardy's phone number.
And Norm. Our Norm's good. And Norm. Our Norm's good. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Sharon.